No man thinks more highly than I do of the patriotism, as well as abilities of the very worthy gentlemen who have just addressed the House. But different men often see the same subject in different lights. For my own part, I consider it as nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery. I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry for the last 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves and the House. Ask yourselves how this gracious reception of our petition comports with those warlike preparations which cover our waters and darken our land. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? These are the implements of war and subjugation, the last arguments to which kings resort. They are sent over to bind and rivet upon us those chains which the British ministry have been so long forging. And what have we to oppose them? Shall we try argument? Sir, we have been trying that for the last 10 years. If we wish to be free, we must fight. They tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. Sir, we are not weak. If we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature hath placed in our power, the millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
There you go, folks, from Untold History. That is the famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech by Patrick Henry, delivered at the second assembly in Virginia. More pertinent now, maybe since then. Welcome to the show. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. On the eve of Independence Day, I'm wearing my extra patriotic tie in celebration. We are going to be celebrating America, but mostly we'll be defending it. We'll be defending the foundational morals that created this country and brought it to the heights of greatness, the likes of which the world has never seen. And we'll be studying the corresponding invasion of psychopaths and weirdos that has dragged us from those lofty heights and is currently attempting to drown us in the waters of the swamp. So we'll be looking at socialism. We'll be looking at the gimme that attitude that has brought us to ruin pretty much. I've got some complicated feelings on this July 4th, and I think they're best expressed by a video that we'll show you on the other side of this short commercial break by Heavy Pulp. And, like I said, I don't have words for it. The nostalgia mixed with the indescribable sorrow at seeing what has been stolen from us, mingling with the infinite hope of regaining it once again. It's a complicated time in our history. It's an inflection time. It's a crucible. This determines where we go from here on out. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more. It's War Room Live.
Anybody telling you not to be proud of your American heritage is insane. Or they're a globalist technocrat trying to gaslight you into not loving your country and your heritage, because they don't want you to stand up for it, because the American ideals of the revolution and what we've done together, has changed the world, and tyrants and systems of political oppression worldwide can't compete against the American system. That's why for the 250th anniversary of our republic, this July 4th, for just 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. All the best sellers are buy one, get one free. Methylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum, Shilajit, you name it. And the Patriot Apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs, up to 50% off. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The tip of the spear. It funds our operation as we fight the globalists, and the products are amazing. So celebrate the 4th with me right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Just go on and tell me those sweet lies. The kind as sweet as these July.
Sweet land,
going on and going on.
Sweet land.
Well, what an incredible piece of what I would consider art. I think that ranks up there with some of the best AI usage I've ever seen. That was from a user on X named Heavy Pulp, and I just retweeted that video. So if you want to find it and you're subscribed to me, you can see it at the top, or you can find Heavy Pulp at on their account at Heavy Pulp. Welcome to the show, folks. Welcome to the show. Like I said, a lot of complicated emotions from watching that. It's just incredible. And I have we start off the show with the speech from Patrick Henry. I have another speech to show you from yesterday, Stephen Miller. And I think this speech, not just the speech itself, but the surrounds, the environs, the situation in which the speech is given, sort of goes to the heart of America today. America in 2026. There it is. Sweet Land, an ode to America's 250th year. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. So let's go to the speech by Stephen Miller. I'm not sure if y'all have the one pulled up. Clip number 12 here. He's given a speech. He's exactly right about what he's saying. It's just kind of hard to focus on him because of the chaos in the background. So again, I feel like we are losing something of infinite value by increment every single day. And it's going away forever. And I think what we're about to see, to me again, is symbolic not just of like our current situation that we're in, and the impossibility of doing anything about it while we allow these people to exist in our country. And what little hope there, and the fact that it's a major figure of the Trump administration. But we'll watch it. I think you'll see what I'm saying. Here's Stephen Miller with a very powerful and accurate speech, if you can make it out through the noise. Let's watch.
All of civilization can be fundamentally divided into two groups of people, builders and destroyers. Between the people who do the work to build, sustain, and nurture civilization, the people who serve, who sacrifice, who give, who care for others, who protect others, who defend others, and those who only destroy, who litter, who rob, who graffiti, who deface, who degrade. Civilization only exists because of people like you. People who choose to serve, who choose to sacrifice, who choose to build, who choose to dedicate themselves to some cause greater than their own vanity. Each and every one of you is the reason why America's future is brighter than it's ever been before. So on behalf of President Trump, on behalf of the White House, on behalf of the U.S. government, and on behalf of the American people, thank you. You have our everlasting gratitude. God bless and happy Independence Day.
So again, that's Stephen Miller giving a speech that you can barely hear because he's practically drowned out by the cacophony, whatever it was. I don't even know. As far as I can tell, there were a bunch of protesters that were shouting him down, and then it just sounded like sirens and emergency vehicles, which in and of itself, again, I find almost symbolic, where it's just like, can we even figure out what the hell's going on here? Like, it's just, we're trying to listen to a speech, a very good speech, very accurate speech about, you know, what we need to save our country. But like, it kind of falls flat when he's like, the future of our country is brighter than it's ever been. It's like, we can hardly hear you over the sounds of ambulances and fire trucks or something. There's some sort of disaster. There's some sort of disaster happening just off screen, and you're having trouble being heard over it. I think this is symbolic. I think this is symbolic. Hard to see the bright and shining future he's talking about through the fog, through the mud, through the miasma that's poisoning us. I mean, he's right. And, you know, his speech was, you know, sort of similar to the famous speech we've played multiple times from Nayib Bukele, talking about what's needed to save a civilization, what we had that allowed us to build the civilization that we now live in, and correspondingly what we've lost and the resultant collapse. Trump's official speeches drowned out by protesters. Yeah, that's sort of the problem, isn't it? You've got actually capable guys with the right ideas, only they're being drowned out by a bunch of very loud idiots. I think it's pretty symbolic. And it's like, is this, you know, like, what are they even protesting at this point? Do they even know? Why are they protesting? Who are they protesting, and for what reason? Does it matter? I mean, what we just heard was the screeching, the cacophony, the sirens and noises, you know, drowning out the actual people trying to do the work, which was the point of Stephen Miller's speech, the builders versus the destroyers. This background noise is perfect, Hegseth proclaimed. It's the sound of ingrates, of ingratitude, of people so blinded by ideology they can't see law and order and common sense in front of them. Tell you what, Pete, we don't need them to understand anything. This is what I'm saying. It's like, these guys are stupid. Okay, but they're winning. They're winning. You've got builders and destroyers. What happens when the builders are incapable of stopping the destroyers? Like, what you need is a third class of people. You've got the builders and the destroyers, but the builders need a class of people to destroy the destroyers. Because the builders are idiots if they just keep building things that keep being destroyed. You need to build something, and then you need to protect it from the destroyers. These people are just like, let's laugh at the destroyers while they destroy what we've only half built. Something deeply symbolic about all of this. And we can get into like where, and there's a lot of stuff that's happening symbolically these days. America's 250th big carnival, the Great American Fair, had to be shut down. It was too hot. It's too hot today. They're not doing it. It'll start up later when it's a little cooler. It's too hot. It's just too hot. I've never, ever, ever heard of a carnival or a fair shutting down because it's too hot. I've gone to fairs in 104-degree heat in Texas before. What do you mean it's too hot to have a fair? What? America's 250th live update, Trump to speak to Mount Rushmore as heat disrupts 4th of July events. The Great American State Fair in Washington, D.C. was temporarily closed due to heat as high temperatures across the U.S. disrupted events marking the 250th anniversary. What are you talking about? Yes, folks, for the first time, it is hot in July. This has never happened before, and we don't know how to deal with it. Guys, we may have made a mistake here. We scheduled our big national holiday right in the middle of summer, and it's just too hot. It's too hot to light things on fire. What? It's too hot to go out on a lake, to play in a park. It's just too hot. Yeah, I don't think that's what it is, actually. I think maybe, just this is pure speculation here, maybe they're embarrassed at all of the pictures coming out showing the Great American Fair being totally vacant and empty. Maybe that was embarrassing. Which has to kind of be insult on top of injury. I would think, like, there are people, they probably saw the Great American Fair was empty and not very popular, and they thought, you know what, we're going to go, we're going to show up, we're going to get there, we're going to have a great time, I don't care what the liberals have to say. And they get there and they're like, actually, it's too hot. Actually, I'm just a little too hot right now. D.C. is about to be hotter than 99% of the world. See the places on the planet that will be hotter. So how hot is Washington, D.C.? Is it over 110 degrees? because that would make sense. I doubt it is. I seriously doubt it is. What's temperature right? Can the crew look up what is the temperature right now in Washington, D.C.? If it's over 100, I'd be surprised. But hey, this is where we're at. Oh, it's 105 in D.C. That is pretty hot. That is pretty hot. For a wimp, for a loser, for somebody who's not American, I guess that would be pretty hot. For our European listeners, 105 degrees Fahrenheit is really hot in Celsius as well. So learn English. All right. Again, I'm just, I don't know. Everything kind of sucks and is getting worse because we're being invaded by a bunch of losers that, you know, can't keep their own country running and yet want to dictate to us how to run ours. The problem with this is that the people that we've empowered to fight back against them won't. They aren't doing it. The only thing I've seen between President Trump and Zoran Mamdani was President Trump inviting him to the White House and patting him on the back and telling him they'd be best friends. That was not a good thing. That was a very bad thing. And I don't know if we'll ever truly understand the consequences of what's happening right now. Because as we explained at the time, there are forces that depend on New York City being a place where you can make money and live. And there are a lot of very, very, very wealthy people and very, very powerful people with a vested interest in seeing America go to socialism. So Zoran Mamdani will be playing with a set of loaded dice, essentially. He can do things that would have devastating consequences. Those consequences will be mitigated by people who want to make socialism look like it's successful. One thing you understand when you study socialists is it's all about appearance. Even if they themselves have a goal that they're going for, have a accomplishment that they're desperate to achieve, and then their system is actually completely contrary to that and does the opposite thing, it doesn't matter for some reason. For some reason, it never matters. And they just keep doing the thing, even if it's reversing the progress they think they're making. It's all completely absurd. But again, the problem is that the Trump administration, when faced with something like a bunch of protesters drowning out your speech, their only response is to like laugh at it and not take it seriously. It's like, we can't even hear you because of the they're winning. They're making you look like chumps. They're making you look incompetent and weak because you can't even give a speech that can be heard because you have no respect from the people and you refuse to force anything. And even when you know this and you make statements about it, your statements are like, those people are ingrates. Okay, and they're going to vote to take your stuff and put you in jail. So what are you going to do about it? Anything at all? No? Okay, great. So this is where we're at. I got another video to explain this to some degree, I think. This relates. Let's go to clip 32 here. This is Trump spokeswoman, or whatever she is, Jeanine Pirro. She's a former Fox News host. A lot of people from Trump's inner circle are former Fox News hosts. They're television talking heads. That doesn't mean automatically that they're incompetent, but there seems to be some sort of correlation. And I think this clip will illustrate my frustration with the Trump administration, where again, it's not like they don't understand or say the right things about the threats that we face. They just seem utterly incapable of doing anything about it or even effectively arguing against it. Here's Jeanine Pirro announcing a prosecution of one sort or another.
Turned a true bill that this person should be charged with this felony. One more.
Thank you for your time today. How do you swear charging this alleged criminal when this is the same Justice Department that...
Already, this is a problem.
You know, over 1,000 January 6th rioters who caused millions of dollars of damage.
Are you really talking about January 6th?
Yes.
I'm not. Okay, who's next? Not you. No. Yes, you again.
All right, so I believe she was talking about arresting people that were like messing up the pond, the reflecting pond. That random reporter asks, you know, how are you doing this when you're letting January 6ers go? You're not investigating January 6ers. With somebody who, like, sort of understood the landscape as it exists now, this is what we call lobbing it over the plate for Jeanine Pirro. This would be a perfect time to take that question as a jumping off point and explain to the press gathered why punishing people for actual crimes that were committed is very different than arresting a bunch of protesters who never did anything to anybody. This would be a perfect time to elucidate and explain, elaborate on why January 6th was rigged, why the persecutions that followed January 6th were illegitimate in comparison to the very legitimate and very justice-oriented work that the current administration is doing. This is the type of question that the Biden administration would be making hay with. Because, as we've explained before, while deliberately dismantling the country and committing treason and crimes against humanity on a regular basis, they at least were professional and capable and knew how to, you know, present their case so that it was convincing. Convincing to idiots and scumbags, yes, but still convincing. And turns out there's a lot of idiot and scumbags in our country that need to be convinced, apparently. So this is my frustration, is it's like, these are the people that we've sent to Washington in our last desperate hope. You know, these are the rebels that we send on the trench run to destroy the Death Star. And they're just like, what if I don't want to try to destroy the Death Star? It's like, but you have to, like, what are you doing though? But what are you actually doing? This is our last chance to regain our country. This is it. And it's basically over. I mean, we're done. We're basically done. This is what Trump's doing. He pardoned six people who were sent to prison for fixing their car. Which, yeah, okay, that's great. Yeah, they should be pardoned for sure. For sure. Not going to tangibly impact the course of our nation, though. Not going to actually affect anybody's regular life except for those particular six people. Good. They should be released. The next obvious step would be, I guess, find the officials that threw them in prison and charge them with false imprisonment or something, because how do you get thrown in prison for trying to fix a car? But we'll never do that. We will only occasionally partially mitigate the damage done by Democrats, but never once will we ever put them on the defensive. We will never actually expand and progress in our direction. We will only ever partially make them, you know, reverse things that have been affecting us for years and years, right? We will never actually get back to less immigrants. We will just deport a quarter of the immigrants they brought in. That's basically where we're at. They'll give really great speeches. You just can't hear them because of the protesters. They'll make good moves. They just won't be able to explain them, so it'll look like partisanship to the wider American public. We're losing, and it's their fault, and it sucks.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano-sized. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're about to do another segment where I feel like I shouldn't have to even add anything, but I guess I do. I guess I'll have to try to explain this. And I guess we all have an opportunity or an obligation here to explain things, considering the fact that according to Cato.org, nearly half of Americans don't know what America's 250th is even celebrating. A new national survey from Cato Institute conducted in collaboration with Morning Consult of nearly 3,000 Americans ahead of July 4th and America's 250th anniversary found that nearly half of Americans don't know what America's 250th anniversary commemorates. A little more than half correctly answered that it was the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. Despite civic ignorance, overwhelming majorities are grateful and proud to be Americans, whatever that means. Most also believe America is a land of opportunity and even more believe the American dream is available to them personally. As the nation celebrates its birth, most Americans feel positive about the nation's founding, and 70% believe its founding principles remain relevant today. In particular, overwhelming majorities believe the U.S. Constitution is important for protecting your rights and freedoms and for enabling America's prosperity, with those numbers reaching up into the low 80s. Still isn't great, I have to say, when only like 75% of people believe in America as a concept. It's like, it's not good to have a quarter of your population who just like don't know or care about your nation. And this is where it gets like kind of hard to even, I mean, they have deliberately destroyed the definition of the word American. Like, it doesn't mean anything now. It genuinely doesn't mean anything now. It used to actually mean something. It does still, in reality, actually mean something, but it's been so distorted and warped over decades of propaganda. What does it mean to be proud to be an American? Because people will say, yeah, I'm proud to be an American, as they wave a Mexican flag and advocate, you know, for more immigration from Mexico. It's like, well, then what do you mean? What do you think being an American even is? Are you an American? Like, you can literally go to somebody who arrived yesterday, doesn't speak English, and they'll be like, yeah, I'm proud to be an American. Look at all we've accomplished. And it's just like, what? You are not us, though. So I really think the only way to understand this is understand that the concept of nationhood has been redefined on purpose by our enemies to steal our birthright. It's not complicated. It is that vicious, and it's shocking that they've almost gotten away with this, more or less. And you'll see when we show a clip from Zoran Mamdani, the sort of schizophrenic attitude that new arrivals have about this country. You can hear from his statement, he has a genuine seething hatred for this country. Like, it's very weird that on July 3rd, sitting behind George Washington's desk, Zoran Mamdani basically just demonizes everything about America. He defines America as a place of evil and supremacy and abuse. Like, not parts of America, not America is amazing and great, but it always has problems because everything does. No. He defines America as being evil. Mamdani uses America's 250th to bash nation that embraced him as a child, granted him citizenship, and elected him to mayor of New York City. Well, America didn't elect him to mayor of New York City. A wide variety of foreigners who moved to New York City elected him to run New York City. So, ungrateful, like, doesn't even begin to describe it. So again, I think the only way to understand this is understand what nationhood actually is, what it actually means, where it actually comes from, the purpose it actually serves, versus whatever these people try to make it into. As we've explained many times, and is obvious from the word itself, nationhood, nation, comes from the same root word as natural and natal. It's about birth. It's a family. It's a wider extended family. That's what nationhood is, which is why it's so utterly absurd to have people who are from other families, who are loyal to other families, come here and try to criticize our family and tell us how we've done things wrong, despite the fact that everyone in their family lives in mud huts and eats each other. Like, what are you talking about? This is so insulting. It's so offensive. It's so unacceptable. And this is the mayor of New York City. Let's go to clip number one here. Zoran Mamdani, Ugandan warlord progeny, mother friends with Jeffrey Epstein, total Trojan horse red herring of the elite, tricking socialist foreign morons in New York into destroying the system that upholds, built, and maintains the middle class and liberty overall. He is a trick. He's a trick. He's a big fool for all of you. And you're all falling for it. And it's so unbelievably insulting the way that he treats this country that didn't just get, I mean, let's watch, let's listen, let's understand our enemy, shall we? Here's Zoran Mamdani.
Nearly a decade ago, I too felt what you feel, the joy of no longer being just a New Yorker, but an American too.
Let's pause right there. You're a Ugandan or something, I don't know, mystery meat from overseas. You're not a New Yorker, you weren't a New Yorker then. You're not an American now. You don't believe in America. You lied on your intake form about communism. You shouldn't even be a citizen. If we had laws that functioned or people that felt like enforcing them, you'd be sent back home to eat rocks or whatever you do over there. I don't know. But you certainly wouldn't be mayor of New York City. This is a severe malfunction of our legal system that you are even here. This was a mistake. You're a mistake. You're an oversight. Okay, back to the oversight, back to the one that slipped through the net, the criminal scam artist that was not an American citizen 10 years ago, is what he just said, by the way. He was not an American citizen 10 years ago, but he's about to tell us how America is evil and how we have to change to be more like him when he is a guest of ours and should be politely asked to leave. With a gun. We should be very politely asked to leave, and if not, then he should be thrown into prison. Here's Zoran Mamdani.
Power. The power to determine what America means. The powerful have always known their answer. America, in their view, is an arena of supremacy, where only a select few are allowed freedom, where not all are created equal. America, if you ask them...
Hold on. Let's pause it there. Let's pause right there. I'm not going to actually be able to stop and try to correct every single utterly insulting, infuriating thing that this scumbag, foreign idiot, nepo baby says. So we'll just have to take it all in big chunks here. Once again, do you have any? He has no idea how insulting it is because he has nothing to be proud of in his own country, which is why he doesn't live there, which is why he came here and wants to take credit for our history and our greatness, even though he's been grafted onto it like a, an organ we're rejecting, an organ the body is rejecting, is Zoran Mamdani. So he shows up 10 years ago to a country 240 years old and says, actually, I'm here to tell you who you are. I'm here to define who you are. It's up to me now, actually, who we are. It's a, you're not we. You're not one of us. You're somebody else. And the way I can tell is because you have a seething disdain for us. You don't like us. You don't like our way of life. You, in reality, have an entire worldview that is defined by the world that we created, by the ideas that we founded and established and fought to bring to everybody else. I guess you think you came up with this. We came up with this. He's literally quoting the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in an effort to discredit America and say that we never believed this. He's quoting our founding documents in order to tell us that we never actually believed. What are the founding documents of Uganda? What do they say? Do they say anything about equality under the law or all human beings being created equal? Do they even have a constitution? This is the perfect example. This is the ideal, perfect example of somebody who genuinely does not believe in our system, but will use it to get power. The classic phrase, like, when you're in power, I invoke tolerance because it's what you believe. But if I get in power, I'm not going to be tolerant because it's not what I believe. I don't care about that. This is all he's doing. See, we actually do have a belief that individuals are responsible for their own behavior, can and should be given liberty and freedom, and then expected to live up to that. That's what we actually believe. This is the system we actually created. Now, that system is being gamed by a bunch of foreigners who don't believe in it to use our system to get power to then destroy our system. So, we have to, first of all, we don't actually have to do anything extraordinary. It's getting to the point where we are going to have to do something extraordinary. Like I keep saying, we're going to have to break the Constitution in order to save the Constitution. That's the point that we're rapidly approaching. But even now, if we just enforced the law, if we just did what was entirely legal and obligated for the government to do, they just won't do it. If they just did that, this wouldn't be a problem. Zoran Mamdani would not be in America if the laws as they're written now were enforced. Let me say that again. Zoran Mamdani would not be an American citizen. He would not be in New York City. He would not be mayor of New York. All we'd have to do, and we wouldn't have to do anything extraordinary. It wouldn't be breaking the law. It wouldn't be being a tyrant, kicking him out because we don't like him. He lied on his citizenship form because he has documented participation in communist groups. That is illegal. He should be removed from the country. That's all we need to do. That's all we need to do. But you know what? If that's not enough, if we tried that and still, you know, we found our country circling the drain, I don't think we would. I think it'd be a lot like El Salvador. I think we could just bounce right back and be back on top in a year or two if we just actually did literally anything to pursue that end. But you know what? If we gotta just say, hey, the law says you're a citizen, but you're obviously an enemy alien and we're sending you out and it's against the law, but we're doing it anyway. That's what's going to be necessary to save the Constitution. If you don't do that, this guy's going to destroy the Constitution forever. He doesn't actually believe in it. It'll go away. And that'll be the end of our country. So which one would you rather do? Would you rather the legitimate authorities use a little extra force to actually save the country and get us back to a place where we can have the Constitution and we can have liberty and we don't have to have a biometric panopticon surveillance grid because we've let in a bunch of criminals and refuse to send them to jail? Or would you rather have, you know, Zoran Mamdani just like take over everything? Because they are. And they're, I don't know if Zoran Mamdani's an idiot, but all of their supporters are genuine idiots. I'm going to show you like 10 videos today that are all like very similar because it's the same mindset. Their entire political belief system, their ideology, absolutely everything is built on one concept: slogans. They have slogans that don't mean anything, but it's the only thing they say. And the arguments don't exist. They're just slogans. They're just a collection of words that sounds nice and that they can invoke to avoid any description of any policy that would have any tangible effect. They don't feel the need to illustrate any of that. It's just sloganeering. We're being taken over by sloganeering and a bunch of people who know that they're lying but don't care because they know it's the most effective way to get past our defenses and destroy us. Like, this could not be more obvious. Let's go back to Mom Donnie.
It's less the more people it welcomes. America, they will tell you, belongs only to those with the right accent or the right shade of skin. The rest of us, they insist, should be grateful for merely being allowed to visit.
Correct.
How small they are. How weak.
Oh, yeah.
How unoriginal.
It's all right.
At every moment in our past, those who led through exclusion and isolation have tried to win power and enrich themselves by turning us against one another. Division is the oldest trick in politics and the cheapest. But time and again, including 250 years ago, those forces of division have been vanquished by the forces of progress.
And everything has gotten steadily worse. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy that every time you people win, everything gets worse in every possible way? Isn't that nuts? And you pat yourselves on the back like you've achieved something. This is Zoran Mamdani. It's the best example. And everybody can understand this, right? Everybody can understand this on a personal level. It's a box of cookies in a refrigerator at work. And it has a sticky note that says, help yourself, with a smiley face. Person that posted this image said, this is mildly infuriating. Somebody at work put a help yourself note on a pack of Tim Tams that I bought. Well, a socialist has entered the chat. He is the sticky note. Okay. Zoran Mamdani is the sticky note. We bought the cookies. The cookies are for us. If we want to give it out to somebody else, that's up to us. And if we don't, it's not an attack on anybody else. There are cookies. That's right. And Zoran Mamdani is there with no cookies, but he'll put a sticky note on your cookie saying, this is for everybody. Everybody deserves these cookies. Why are you being an exclusionary extremist supremacist for not giving me your cookies that you got? I guess you're a racist. I guess you're just a racist supremacist that's trying to keep us all down by not giving us the thing that you worked for and earned and created yourself. It's ours, actually. Actually, it belongs to everybody, and you're the bad guy. Retweet this saying, you know, this sticky note, it's drawn Mamdani. It's also the plaque on the Statue of Liberty. That's what it is. We built, the French built the Statue of Liberty as a gift to us. We built the pedestal. We put it up. It's a symbol of us. It's a symbol of our greatness shining out into the rest of the world, trying to wake them up. Then along comes some Jewish refugee, slaps a plaque on it that says, actually, this is a gateway to the world. Everyone welcome. And still to this day, and almost every day, I hear somebody going, You're not American if you're exclusionary. America is the Statue of Liberty. It's like, in a lot of ways, yes. In a lot of ways, yes. It was something great and powerful and good built by the people that live here, only to have foreigners come in and decide actually it belongs to them. And it's a symbol for how America is everybody's. And now people believe that, and they think that that's what America was founded on. That was never what America was founded on. What are you talking about? That doesn't even make sense. Somebody at work put a help yourself note on a pack of cookies that I bought. There it is. That's socialism. And like, this is the thing, you know, people have this idea. I mean, it really is just infuriating that we even have to talk about this, considering the fact that socialism, communism, it has not only been so thoroughly destroyed in intellectual circles that like it wasn't even a talking point for a couple of decades until we brought over a bunch of third worlders who don't know any better and they started pushing communism. And the media, you know, helped do it. But it's not just the intellectual, it's the real world. We've seen it tried over and over and over again. It always fails. It always ends in total destruction. Why do we even have to talk? We shouldn't have to talk about this. We should have systems in place to prevent people like Zoran Mamdani from being in this country and voting for socialism. It doesn't work. It's nonsense. It's retardation. It's a giant scam. What do you not understand about this? People understand it on an individual basis. Everybody would understand if you brought your own cookies to work and somebody else went, "Hey guys, I bought cookies for everybody." You'd be like, "What the hell? What the hell are you talking about? I was going to give cookies out, but like, you can't just take them from," like, everybody understands socialism in their lives and how bad it is and how it's not helpful. And how they conflate charity with socialism as a trick. You understand that if you bought cookies and I take them from you and I give them out, here's my question. Let's take this example. You buy a sleeve of cookies. You put them off for yourself. You maybe intend on sharing them, maybe not. Who knows? They're your cookies. You bought them. You earned them. They're very expensive, very nice cookies. You had to save up for them. Then I come along. I take your cookies from you. I start handing them out to people at the office. Who has done the virtuous thing? Who has done the thing that is good and virtuous? Is it me? I stole from you. I don't think you'd feel like what I did was very nice. But I gave it out to everybody. Isn't that virtuous? Well, no, it wasn't mine to give. I stole it. Did you do something virtuous? What's virtuous about being the subject of theft? It's not virtuous to be a victim. You know, maybe if I'd given you an opportunity to hand out the cookies, then you would have been able to be virtuous. You would have been able to, on your own free will, be charitable, give things out. Other people would benefit. That's a virtuous thing. Now you're doing a virtuous thing. But if I come along, take what you've earned and give it to somebody else, where's the virtue? Who is doing the good thing? Who is benefiting from it? The people that are getting something? Me, for acting like I'm the one giving it out to them, even though I stole it from you? This is, and everybody would understand this on a personal level. Why they don't understand it on a national level, maybe they're not capable. Maybe they literally don't have second order effects. Maybe they actually don't understand where things come from or how things are made. Maybe they're just too low IQ. Maybe we should have an IQ test to vote. You ever think about what effect that might have on everybody? I don't know. It might not actually work. I'm not actually that big of a fan. I don't actually think IQ is as important as other things like morals, but this is the problem. We've got a bunch of moral people that are just like regular Americans, but they might not be college educated and part of the highfalutin elite, but our hyper intelligent, well educated people seem to utterly lack moral certainty or moral grounding whatsoever, because our education system is basically drives out anybody who wants to actually understand moral certainty to any degree. Everything has to be some sort of weird gray area, which is just opens up opportunities for scams. We're going to get into this more later because it's not just me saying this. I actually have a very long video. I might end up playing in full, but it's basically an Indian trying to explain to other Indians what the concept of civics is and why civics are important and why civic responsibility is something that is required and necessary for prosperity or anything at all. It doesn't exist in these other countries. Like, I'm, and It could, you know, if the Statue of Liberty was the symbol that it once was, if we understood our role as Americans was actually to try to get the rest of the world up to speed, not let them all in so they can drag us down to the bottom, then maybe we would live in a world where, you know, civics were taught everywhere and, you know, everything was aligned on a moral straight. But we've gone the opposite direction. We've gone the absolute opposite direction. So again, I don't even think you need to be, you don't need to be intelligent to understand like second order effects or just being a good person. But there's a particularly poisonous and toxic, combination when you have people that are highly intelligent, but are totally devoid of morals or compunction or, you know, an internal conscience telling you to do the right thing, without the threat of punishment. But these are the people that are running our country now. We're going to show you more videos on the other side. I do want to tell you that we've got an absolutely massive special going on. And I had, here they are, with some very cool silver rounds, 250th anniversary silver coins now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Very awesome. We can go to .com. We've got the shiny silver eagle over the waving flag for the America's 250th. And then on the back, you have the Crusader side. Oh, we can't. Wow. It is a set of absolutely beautiful coins. They are 1 troy ounce, 0.999 fine silver commemorative round. The price you can get these on the site is $117.76. But of course, as a VIP, you get an additional discount, less than $100. Get them now, thealexjonesstore.com. The semi-quincentennial coin, United States silver. Of course, we also have massive weekend discounts, 60% off supplements, up to 50% off the apparel, and the BOGO deals are still on with methylene blue tincture. Buy one of those, get a second one free. Bovine colostrum plus, get a second one free if you buy one of those. And if you get a Shilajit complex capsule order, you get a second one of those absolutely free. So 3 buy 1 get 1 sales plus the brand new silver coins at thealexjonesstore.com. They're absolutely beautiful. And I'll be adding them to my collection. You can add them to yours by going now to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. When we get back on the other side, we'll show you more videos of more socialists being incapable of explaining even the simplest policy that they would enact.
Now, our coming attractions.
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world. We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones.
Whoa! Hey, Alex!
We love you, Alex!
I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more.
Hey, libtard, Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
F*** you, Alex. Suck my d***.
What a bunch of garbage. Liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you. Two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams bidding for control of the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh, Antifa speedball. Move, bitch! Get out the way!
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not gonna take a bite out of it. Do you got me? We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to bring down the new world order!
Yeah! I want freedom. That's what I want, and that's what you should want.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are, for some reason, in the year 2026, we're having to actually argue against communists. It's crazy. Represents an absolute abysmal failure of our intellectual class to teach our values and morals to other people, as well as the inevitable and oft-predicted outcome of our open border third world refugee refuse receivement plan. Not sure what other outcome we were expecting from all of this, but we've got another one of our ingrates. Maybe that's what we can just call him. I actually kind of like that. I hadn't thought about that yet. So Zoran Mamdani is like, thinks, you know, he's like mad that Americans call ingrateful people ingrates. That's a good word. Like, we use all these words. Immigrants, you know, illegal immigrants. Just call them ingrates. How about the ingrates? Okay. So we've got another ingrate here. Another newly arrived ingrate. And the thing is, the disconnect is so deep between us. We're not even really speaking the same language. To me, gratitude is an act of decency, right? To him, gratitude is an act of submission. See, when we give somebody something, we don't necessarily expect gratitude, but it would be nice if we got some gratitude, right? You don't do something because you want the gratitude. You understand what I mean? It's happened to me recently. I can't remember what it was. Maybe with my kids or something. But, you know, it's like you don't have to say thank you, but it's polite. It's nice. It lets you know that you're telling that person, hey, you didn't have to do this, but you did, and I appreciate it. And that's all we're asking. But to Zoran Mamdani, that's like submission or something. That's like a threat. It's like you have to be grateful for what we gave you. It's like, no, you would be a decent person to be grateful for what we gave you. The fact that you're not grateful isn't you like standing up to white supremacy. It's you just being ungrateful. It's you just being a bad person and not appreciative of what you've been given but don't deserve, what you didn't earn and yet have possession of. You just should be grateful. But like, this is the thing. I don't even know if he can conceive of it like that. Like, do you understand what I mean by the disconnect here? That, like, to me, somebody whose family, like, sought refuge here and was given citizenship and given all of the rights of Americans despite doing nothing to earn that position and being mayor of New York after just a year, you should be grateful. You should be great. Not to me, like, I didn't give you anything. But to America, absolutely, you should be grateful. Just like I am grateful to it. This is the difference. I am grateful to America when it's my family that built it. It's my ancestors that created the thing that I appreciate. You come here to something that your ancestors didn't create, that you didn't inherit, but rather have been grafted into, have wormed your way into, and you don't have appreciation, you don't have gratefulness, you are not thankful for what you've been given. Like, that's just, you're just a bad person. You're just an indecent, bad, rude, ingrate. You're an ingrate. And the only lesson we need to have is, like, stop giving them things. Stop giving them things. We need to stop being so gracious. We need to stop being so generous. They don't see it that way. And this is the big difference. If you give me something that I don't deserve, I'm grateful to you. And I appreciate it. If you give something to Zoran Mamdani, in his little foreigner pea brain, he thinks he earned it. He thinks he either tricked you out of it or deserves it, and you had to give it to him, which is why he has it now. He's actually not grateful. He actually does not appreciate the fact that he didn't deserve the thing he's been given. In his mind, he has it now. He must have earned it. He got it. That must be because, you know, you're too stupid to keep it. The ungratefulness, the ingrate attitude points to a much, much deeper sociological issue that these people have, that they're bad people.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to the AliceJonesStore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did.
plane! The plane!
Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the alexjonesstore.com today.
All right, folks, welcome back. Welcome back to the Ingrate Parade. We go from one foreign new arrival. And again, if this sounds harsh, you got to understand the way I literally think about this is like a family. Like, there's somebody that has come into our house, told me my family is evil, and that the only way my family will be cured is if, you know, he gets to run it from now on. The chutzpah, the ingratitude. We have to stop these people. We have to stop these people. And again, it's like, On every level, right? On the moral level, on the strategic level, everything they think is wrong and is dangerous and is destructive to the world that we all want to live in. They're just too stupid or greedy or small-minded to understand that. So again, I'm sick of having this setup where we have to constantly defend our country against people that just aren't us, don't like us, don't have any appreciation. This is the absurd part about, like, we're a creedal nation. Really? So people who don't believe in America, do we kick them out? Oh no, they're more American than I am all of a sudden. How does that work? If you're a nation, what does that mean? What does a nation mean? It either means people connected by shared history and genetics and birth. And I would include, you know, various people groups in that, but people groups that have spent long enough together and have, you know, both created a civilization that serves both of them, they can be a nation. Again, it's not necessarily a racial thing. For all of time, it has been a racial thing. America bent that a little bit, but that doesn't mean we're suddenly a creedal nation. If we were, then we could eject people like Zoran Mamdani. So if we're not a creedal nation and we're not a nation by race, then I guess we're not a nation. So we have to, for some reason, allow a bunch of weirdos from other nations, often citizens of other countries, come here and dictate to our family who we are, why we're bad, and why we need to be more like them. When at the end of all of it, when at the end of absolutely everything, every single time their system is actually tangibly, provably, with evidence, worse in every possible way. What the hell? What the hell are we doing? None of this is speculative. None of this is speculation. Their ideas are always bad. They always go badly. They never even do the thing that they're supposed to do. Even when they have the entire government apparatus at their disposal to achieve it, it never works because it's incompatible with reality. Why do we have to argue this? Why are we having to argue this? You know, my kids don't have to constantly defend their position as my children, right? My wife doesn't have to constantly fight back against an endless deluge, constantly trying to prove herself worthy of being my wife because other people are coming in and saying, actually, I think I'm better as her wife. And I'm going, oh, well, maybe I'll just go with her. Like, what is this? Why do we have to constantly defend against these people trying to invade our country? I get it. That's just the way the world is. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. But, like, where's the vigilance? I don't have the ability to stop immigrants from coming in. I don't have the ability to do what needs to be done. The government does. They're not doing it. Why not? This really is the problem. And of course, you know, we've been over it before. Pro-immigrant message for America's 250th anniversary. We've been over it, you know, a million times. All of these concepts, all of them. Let's go to this video. Video number three here. This is, The newest Democrat ingrate from Colorado, Melat Quiros, going through her policy proposals as a, you know, communist. Let's watch.
I want to quote something that you said during a speech in mid-May.
obviously before your victory, about the basics of your ideology. I want to dig into it a little bit with you. You said every single issue that I looked at, where we thought there was a problem that was persisting, we already figured out the solution a long time ago. You solve homelessness by giving people housing. You solve hunger by giving people food. You solve healthcare by going to a single-payer system.
Wow, no, well, let's pause it. Let's pause it right there. Why hadn't we thought of that? Wow, thank goodness we have these ingrates, these foreign ingrates here to explain to us the obvious. I mean, my God, we never thought about this. The problem with homelessness is people don't have homes. Duh. No, Joe, for a long time I was thinking about I could never get it as funny enough to make the skit, actually. But it was always hilarious to me, the idea of like the socialist superhero, where it's like there's some big problem that's like a catastrophe. It's like really, it's like, oh my God, there's all these poor people are starving to death. What do we do? And the social superheroes comes up and is just like, give them food, and then flies away. And it's like, no, we know. Like, what are you talking? You're not helping. This isn't helping. And it's just like, the socialist superhero solves everything. Everybody's poor. What do? Give them money. Everybody's like, wow, you're amazing. I can never get the punchline down. But this is it. This is the punchline. The punchline is the destruction of our country, I guess. Very funny. But like that, it's like, this is what I mean. This is what we're having to argue. This play school level wish list fantasy birthday candle level political ideology we're actually having to like contend with. And I have to actually try to explain to you why give homeless people homes is not actually a government policy, is not actually a proposal, doesn't actually mean anything, is just the ramblings of a kindergartner. And this person got elected to office in America. Her solution to homelessness is give them homes. Retarded ingrates. Like, what are we doing here? You know, the problem with poor people is they don't have money. Maybe we should give them money. My God. And they're like, oh, this woman is brilliant. We never thought about this. Give poor people money. Give homeless people homes. Society is solved. We did it. Are you kidding me? This is what I refuse to actually explain why this is wrong. I refuse. If you can't understand why give poor people money is not anything, it's not a policy, it's nothing. Like, do I have to explain it to you? Are you a child? Are you in preschool? I bet my 5-year-old would understand this. Maybe not. Maybe I could ask him. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. We'll see if we can go over some very basic, you know, ideas with children. See if they understand more than this 20-year-old ingrate does. Okay, so the other ingrate interviewing her, I guess is from Canada. I don't know. It's hard for me to listen because his eyes are so beady. It's like, if you want, like, look at the guy's eyes. They, you know, if you've ever been like, what do beady eyes look like? It's like, this is the dictionary definition of a beady-eyed man. And so I have trouble listening to him. I feel like I get hypnotized by his tiny little eyes. So sorry, back to the beady-eyed man and the ingrate.
Like every other developed country has universal health care. But tell me about this, because there are some who would paint you and other DSA members as radicals. You're trying to make the argument that
idiots,
this is
not
common
radicals,
sense.
Idiots.
It is common sense, right? If you look at the data, if you look at the research, it is cheaper to house someone than to leave them homeless.
Pause.
It is cheap.
Pause right there. How is it cheaper to house somebody than leave them homeless? Feel the need to expand on that? Option A, you buy a home. Option B, you don't buy that home. You're saying this one is cheaper? I'd like for you to explain that. See, on the face of it, that's a very ridiculous thing to say. I guess they're saying that, like, healthcare, addressing housing directly is cheaper than relying on cops and emergency rooms. And it's like, what do you think happens when somebody gets a home? Why do you think they're going to the emergency room or having the cops called on them? It's not because they're sleeping rough. It's because they're doing drugs or committing violence or causing trouble of some sort. That continues. It'll just now happen in a government-sponsored hostel, I guess. Great. But it would be absurd on the face of it if it was as simple as you're going to pay for a $10,000 hut for the person. But in California, every time there's some sort of breakdown about housing homeless, like monetary breakdown of where the money goes, routinely you see that to house a homeless person for a single year cost $250,000 somehow. Somehow. So like if it was just, you know, at cost, it still would be wrong. But guys, bring up like just some of the breakdowns of just like, you know, California paid $500 million to house 35 people. Like, it's crazy how much money it costs to house a homeless person because of all the grifting and fraud and taking advantage of it that the NGOs do. And at the end of the day, unless you actually have, so there is a way to do this that's effective. There is a way to do this that can actually work. There's actually a program here in Austin that does it. I believe it's called Mobile Loaves and Fishes, but they have a tiny house community where they will give homeless people a home, but only if the homeless people can prove that they're not on drugs, can prove that they, you know, actually deserve the home. And then they're required to upkeep it. They're required to not trash it, not misbehave. And if they do, they get kicked out. This gives them a sense of ownership and a sense of belonging and a sense of responsibility. And if they can maintain it, it's been shown to be very effective. It's a Christian charity that isn't sponsored by the government. The government will spend $100,000 to book a homeless person a hotel room that costs $10,000, and then they pocket the rest of the money, provide absolutely no oversight, because that would be mean. That would be mean to require them to not do drugs. California has allocated roughly $24 billion over the last 5 years to combat homelessness. Oh, and what's happened? It's triple, doubled. What is it? Despite these generational investments, unhoused populations have still grown, prompting criticism over a perceived lack of centralized accountability and long-term measurable outcomes. To track how funds are used across specific regions, you can follow the California Department of Housing and Community Development dashboard. I mean, we've covered the stories as they broke, and like routinely it comes out where it's just like, yeah, they spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to house a single person. It is a giant scam. So this is what I mean with socialism. It's like, yes, you can point to the litany of historical examples, the endless examples of times where this exact ideology has been implemented and it has failed abysmally. Or you can just look at the actual proposals that they're setting forward and look at where they've been implemented in the last few years in the United States, and every single thing they try is an abysmal failure. There's no outlier. There's absolutely nothing where it's like, well, you know, the socialists got elected and I don't see homeless people anymore. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine a world where that actually happened? Why doesn't that exist? Why doesn't it exist with these countries or cities in America that are fully 100% far left? Why are they the worst cities in the country every single time? Explain that to me. And again, I am a person who goes by the evidence. I don't actually have some sort of like, I don't know, superstitious fear of government programs. If I one day looked around and went, you know, there used to be homeless people all around here. I remember this park being filthy, like, I haven't even thought about it, but I haven't seen a homeless person in weeks now. And somebody went, well, you know, it's because the government instituted the homelessness program. So I'd be like, great, let's keep that program going. Right. If it works, I'll do it. I'm all for it. If we can spend, you know, $3 million and not have any homeless people, like, that's great. When you spend $28 billion and get more homeless people, why are you still doing that? What is your problem? What is wrong with you? Why do I have to live with you? And why do you have a say in our governance? What are we doing? This isn't a matter of opinion. This isn't a matter of perspective, ideology, political bent. This is a matter of basic mathematical reality. This is a matter of cause and effect, of policy and outcome. You do the policy, everything gets worse. Stop doing that policy. That's my mindset. That's where I'm at. That's my crazy reactionary right-wing extremism. If the thing is intended to get rid of homeless people and instead it doubles homeless people, that's a bad thing that shouldn't be implemented anymore. If it's a thing that's meant to get homeless people housing and it gets homeless people housing and is effective and efficient, I'm all for it. I'm not against it. I'm against being retarded. I'm against spending money on things that make everything worse. I'm against ingrates with dumbass ideas that always fail and are actively failing as we speak. Again, what is wrong with them? What do we do about this? It's like the drug stuff in Oregon. We covered the story earlier this week, I think it was, where it's like they're giving each other awards because it's like, we have caused the overdose deaths to, you know, be limited by 50%. And it's like, yeah, but it was only up 100% because you legalized drugs 2 years ago. So like 2 years ago, they legalized drugs. Everything gets so much worse, just like we all said it would. And then they reverse it back and then they take the credit as if they're the ones that did the great thing in reversing it. It's like, no, you were the wrong ones for undoing it in the first place. You were the ones who were stupid and wrong and bad at your job for legalizing drugs in the first place. But like, it just never seems to get through to them. An Oregon Health Audit Authority reported that overdose deaths dropped in 2024 and likely continue to fall in 2025. The reason why is not precisely clear. Every time, every single time. And they just don't learn. They don't care. You tell me. You tell me why. The only things I can figure out is like they are just that dumb or they deliberately want to destroy the country. What other option is there? Like, that's it. Those are the answers. Let's go back to the ingrate. I think there were only a couple
of seconds. And give them treatment that it is to let them get sick and to deal with getting the last minute, you know, excruciating treatment at the very end of their sickness. It is cheaper to give our kids the highest quality education and give them the opportunity to thrive with the best opportunities in their futures. All of these things not only pay for themselves, not only are pragmatic and economic, you know, it's just also the right thing to do, right?
No. Wrong. Next question. Once again, I'll say the right thing to do is not take other people's money to facilitate the drug addiction of your homeless population. That's actually not the right thing to do. That is the wrong thing to do. You could say it has the right intentions, but if my intention is to cook a delicious meal and I burn the house down, it doesn't really matter what my intention was. The effect of my action is ruinous and horrifying. Let's go to clip number 5 here. This was posted with the title, Media Figures Rushed to Fact Check Trump by Insisting that Democrat Socialists Were Not Communists. They're absolutely not communists, and how dare you say so? Only if you ask their leadership, they're pretty unabashed about their communist leadings. So as we watch this collection of leaders in the Democrat Socialists of America admitting that they obviously are just communist Trojan horse trying to fully undermine this entire country from the ground up, pay attention to how sickly and freakish they all look, okay? Let's go to clip number 5 now.
I am a communist, you know, and, you know, this is what I want to fight for.
As a communist who does, you know, pro-Palestine organizing.
I mean, our goal is liberation. Our goal is communism.
I think we can transform DSA into a revolutionary and practical organization.
We are revolutionary socialists who believe in the working class and believe that it is in desperate need of a revolution and thus needs a workers' party with an internationalist and anti-imperialist purview. And we believe that DSA is the best method to achieve this.
At the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, we're in DSA because we believe that DSA, whatever it is, can be the vehicle for socialism here.
I think DSA has retreated on abolition somewhat. Like 5 years ago, we had Zoran tweeting, queer liberation means defund the police.
The type of Trotskyism I adhere to, and I think the type of Trotskyism Trotsky actually argued, it says we recognize these problems and we defend them anyway.
We must be willing to meet the challenge of building a member-driven mass organization that can harness the revolutionary potential of the working class.
I first joined DSA at the end of 2021. So when I came to the U.S. for grad school, I got involved in Students for Justice in Palestine. And then after I graduated, I organized in the New Haven community.
And that internationalism is key to change for us as socialism here in the United States because it helps us see what's possible.
That DSA has remained one of the only coherent poles of resistance to both fascism and capital in the United States. We are only going to build ourselves into a fighting party by ensuring that our electoral work and our independent working class organizing are working in concert and are strengthening each other.
We are fighting to dismantle like these policing structures, but ultimately we have to be ready to take control of our neighborhoods, to fight for our neighbors.
If you're, those are the two criteria that we actually don't allow.
So when we say we want a vanguard party of professional revolutionary cadre, we're talking about organizers who are on the front lines of labor struggles, tenant struggles,
look at him,
and so on.
It is so important that as DSA, we are developing organizers who can look at the conditions, figure out what exactly is the pressure point, what is that weak point that we can push on to help start breaking capitalism down. And it's working.
Is it? Is it working? How DSA built Zoran Mamdani's electoral machine. Look, the DSA also gave us AOC, right? This is what they do. They're very good at identifying races where they can interject with a actor who can be their vessel to take over the city and to set going the feedback loop that will destroy everything. We'll get into that on the other side. We've got New York landlords already talking about the fact that they can't afford to repair their buildings. So what's going to happen? They're going to confiscate them from the city and give them to socialist, whatever they call them, combines to run it as an NGO. But basically, they're just selling property to their DSA friends at rock bottom prices. They're literally destroying the country. I don't know what else to tell you. These are all freakish communists that have to be expelled from our political system by one form or another. Like we can't allow these people to have a say in our government. Oh, is that undemocratic? Yeah, you bet your ass it is. Yeah, when our country's been flooded with tens of millions of foreigners, it's time to be done with the whole charade of democracy that doesn't exist anyway. We'll be back with more on the other side. Stay with us.
There has been a major full court press agenda to undermine this country, to make Americans think that it's the American Republic and our Constitution that was the apple of the world's eye. Everybody wanted to come here to be part of this, that somehow it's why America's hated around the world. It's why we've lost our liberties and our freedoms. It's why you can work 80 hours a week and still can't pay your bills. No, it's the globalists. It's the private Federal Reserve. It's the whole UNWF kleptocrats that have been financing all of the radical anti-white, anti-America, anti-Christian, anti-capitalist garbage. And it's America that stands in the way of that. That's why with Cloward and Piven, they've been undermining it to destroy it. And so that's why with the 250th anniversary approaching in just a few days, it is so important to remember that they're trying to break your will. They're trying to demoralize you. Well, we're talking about the next leap in the information war with the truth against the liars. I'm here at AliceJonesLive.com headquarters. We've got our backup studio, new studio is getting built. It's incredible. We're planning to go 20 hours a day live with even a late night show that's going to be incredible. But we need your support to do it, and you've been coming through with the support. That's why I want to give back to you on this 250th anniversary of our Constitutional Republic and celebrate it and know that its best days are to come if we take action, if we breathe life into it. And let Big Brother globalists know that they are in trouble. They've lost the faith of the public. Their own internal documents have leaked. They know they're in crisis. They know the Great Awakening's here. They thought their Great Reset and their COVID release would get us back in line, back in heel with their boot on our neck, but it didn't work. So, running this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through the 4th of July, we are offering the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Best-selling items. Buy one, get one free. Ultramethylene Blue, the very best. Bovine Colostrum, the very best. Shilajit, incredible. Booster Testosterone, all these natural peptides. These are private labels, the best brands in the country, discounted. And up to 60% off the other supplements and 50% off on apparel. Many of these are loss leaders, but I know those of you on the fence that haven't tried some of these products, once you try Ultramethylene Blue or Bovine Colostrum or our Methylene Red that's proprietary, you're going to be hooked. There's over a 90% order rate. And you know you're financing liberty and freedom, so you cannot lose. Also, 60% off Ultimate Chill with all these known herbs for natural, clean, calm, but you also stay focused at the same time. Ultimate Energy, supercharged energy. Methylene Red capsules that goes with Methylene Blue, like a horse and carriage. MK Ultra, Brain Booster. Ultimate Power Freedom Mango is even better than Turbo Force. Similar formula, even stronger, full of super nutrients. In Mango, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. You want a cooking beef tallow? We've got the highest quality right now for you as well. Superfood Green Powder, Tallow Bomb, Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shot, Ethnogenic Mushroom Super Coffee. I forgot about that. It is simply amazing. It's all up to 60% off. Our Zeolites, 40% off. CMOS Gummies, Irish CMOS, 40% off. It goes on and on. So up to 60% off on the supplements. Buy one, get one free on all three of our top-selling supplements. 50% off on Patriot Apparel and more Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. July 3rd, July 4th, July 5th, flash sale celebrating the birth and the continuation of this country past 250 years at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 250 years of America and 250 more. We are 1776. We're unstoppable together.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This story, Expect more like this. Again, this isn't a bug of socialism. This is a feature. This is a constantly featured phenomenon in socialism and whatever this mindset is. I don't even know if you can call it socialism, but there's something we're defining here that characterizes all of our enemies. Because the obvious example that we always point to is Nancy Pelosi. Forcing everybody to stay home while she goes out and gets her hair did. Well, now you have Mamdani's City Hall had its AC cranked to frigid temperatures as New York City forced to roast with 78-degree rule. So temperatures inside New York City Hall dipped well below the level requested by Zoran Mamdani during the ongoing heat wave, with some rooms reaching as low as 54 degrees Thursday afternoon, according to on-site readings conducted by the New York Post. Temperatures outside climbed to around 100 degrees in the city, including Central Park, which hit triple digits for the first time in over a decade. Despite the extreme outdoor heat, multiple interior government spaces remained noticeably cool throughout the day. Around midday, readings taken across City Hall show mixed but generally moderate conditions. The rotunda, the city council chamber, and areas near the mayor's second floor office registered around 77 degrees. The mayor's press office on the first floor came in at 78 degrees at the same time. Conditions changed later in the afternoon. By roughly 4:30 p.m., temperatures in several parts of the building had fallen further. The rotunda was recorded at 64 degrees, while areas near the press office had dropped to about 62 degrees. In one area near the mayor's office, the temperature was measured at 74 degrees. The coldest reading came from an air vent in a press radio room which registered 54 degrees. The Manhattan Municipal Building, the city store inside the municipal building, was 64 degrees. Which, that's crazy. That is so cold. So, and again, why would this matter? Like, why are people sending undercover operatives with thermometers to test how cold it is in City Hall? Because Zoran Mamdani, we'll see in a video and just say, he wants to bring democracy from the ballot box into your personal life. So this is democracy. Democracy, i.e. Zoran Mamdani, decided that 78 degrees was good enough for you. So that's what you'll be stuck at. And there's already systems in place. I know because a family member of mine like accidentally signed up for one. She like didn't realize what it was exactly. And in Austin, there's a thing where the city can take control of your thermostat. And so like in the middle of summer, she's like, why is my thermostat? It keeps going up to 80. Like, why does he keep doing this? I'm so hot. And it's like, she realized that as she was signing up for electrical service, there was something that was like, would you like to save $40 a month by joining our, you know, eco-friendly club? She was like, yeah, sure. And it turns out that gives control over your thermostat to the city of Austin, and they keep it at a deeply uncomfortable, hot level. While in City Hall, it's 54 degrees. This is how socialism works, you guys. This is what it is. Do you think the rich people are keeping their houses hot? Do you think they're paying their fair share and suffering with the rest of us? No, no, no. And it always happens like this. Why? Because, well, the important, you know, activity of the state, you know, doing things like forcing everybody to keep their ACs at an uncomfortably hot temperature. I mean, that's an important thing. That's saving the world. So if they need to be a little cooler to save the world, I think that's okay. No, it's actually okay if you, you know, allow Nancy Pelosi to go get her hair done because she needs to look good to push the lockdown on everybody else. And these people working in City Hall, the work they're doing is just that important, telling everybody else to be hot. So, of course, they have to stay cool. However it's justified, this is always the outcome. Inevitable. It's inevitable. It's every single time. It's never any different. The only difference is, under socialism, the way the elite make their money is dishonestly. That's the big difference. Just as many, if not more, inequality, like rich people, you know, billionaires, that sort of stuff. Inequality always increases under socialism every single time. There's no way that it can't, because to pay for the stuff that they want, you have to rob the middle class, because the rich do not have enough money to have it all taken from them and have methods by which they conceal or shield their money from taxation in ways that are legal and necessary for a market to function at all. So you're not actually solving inequality. You're not actually solving any of that. You're just changing it from capitalism, where you at least have to, in some way, appeal to your customers. They aren't forced to buy from you, so you've got to do something to get them to buy from you. But in socialism, you don't have to serve anybody in any way. You don't have to achieve anything. You don't have to have any success whatsoever. You will still be rich. How many millionaires do you think are running around whose entire career involved dealing with the homeless problem in California? Do you think if capitalism was at all involved, people with outrageous failures under their belt would keep getting promoted and keep being given billions of dollars to achieve less than nothing? Socialism doesn't change how many billionaires there are, how many millionaires there are, or how much inequality there is. If anything, it makes it worse. What it does change fundamentally is how that money is made. Money under capitalism, while capitalism is not the end-all be-all, while capitalism is not even something I necessarily subscribe to, I think capitalism in its prototypical, you know, metaphysical form is just an inevitable consequence of freedom, but I would much prefer our government take a much harder line on monopolistic endeavors and private equity and all this crap. I hate all that. I don't even consider it capitalism. But if it is capitalism, then I don't subscribe to it. I don't actually care that much about the concept of capitalism. I do understand incentive structures. I do understand the fact that greedy people out there are going to try to get your money one way or another, and socialism just makes it to where they don't actually have to do anything for it. They don't have to achieve anything. They don't have to prove effectiveness of anything. Again, I mean, the homeless situation is the obvious one. Medical situation would be another. I mean, anything that you look to do. Now, there are some things that should not be dictated by profit, obviously, right? You don't have firefighters charging to put out fires because that would not create a good situation. That would create numerous very bad situations. So, like, okay, there are some things that the government should and must do because individually we can't do it and collectively there's no profit motive. So, okay, the government can step in and do that. However, if you're like, what actually happens is, you know, firefighting is a pretty cut and dry thing. Is there a fire? Do your best to put it out. Okay, we're done. With things like homelessness or welfare or job creation or any of this stuff, it all gets a little wonky. So what you end up with is, you know, a fire station that gets $2 billion and accidentally outfitted flamethrowers instead of water hoses to their trucks. And every time they go to put out a fire, they actually spread the fire a lot more and burn a lot more stuff down. And then they get a couple more billion dollars. Like, it's so backwards. It's so nonsensical. It so doesn't make sense in any way you want to cut it. And yet we have to argue against this. We have to actually talk about this. Time and time again, you see exactly the same thing. The only people who are subject to socialist dictates are the poor and the middle class. The rich, who already have friends in government, who already have loopholes they take advantage of, they aren't destroyed by socialism. Billionaires' money isn't actually collected from socialism. They offshore it, they get around it, they donate to charity and offset the taxes, they reinvest their money so it's not included as income. It doesn't affect them. And it doesn't affect negatively the people in the government or in the system or in the NGO or some other, you know, outlet that gets money from the government. They do great. The billionaires do great. The rich do great. And everything gets worse for everybody else. 100% of the time, there's never been a contrary example. There just has never been a contrary example in all of history. So why do we have to treat them like they are talking anything that makes any sense? Mamdani Blast, Capitalism, Foreign Wars in America's 250 address, while sitting at George Washington's desk, backwards, I might add. By the way, sitting on the wrong side of the desk, which, again, I think is symbolic to all of this. The 15-minute speech which Mamdani gave, while flanked by newly naturalized U.S. citizens, balanced critiques with a celebration of a grand experiment in self-governance. The experiment has failed. And if this was an experiment, that would mean we could go back. So it's not really an experiment. There's no control. There's no control function. No, this is just the system that we're in. And it is proven ineffective at delivering absolutely anything of any value to anybody that deserves it. So it should be destroyed in favor of a new system that excludes people like Zoran Mamdani with prejudice, violently if necessary. The Democratic Socialist mayor elevated the plight and contributions by downtrodden Americans, slaves, Continental Army soldiers, immigrants of all types with the alleged smallness of the powerful. Smallness of the powerful. We see a city of contradictions within a nation of contradictions, he intoned. Yeah, you see a city built by capital being run by a socialist. That's a contradiction. You see a city and a nation built by white people, populated entirely by non-white people that don't believe in the systems that they're operating. That's very contradictory. That doesn't make any sense at all, actually. We see the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. How'd we get that way, Zoran? Is that a good thing? Do you understand what I mean? That, like, they don't even make sense in their own sentences. Like, they can't even... I don't even understand what they're against and what they're for. It all seems utterly meaningless and contradictory the entire time. He says we see the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. Is that a good thing? Is it a good thing that we're wealthy? How is it a good thing if nations are wealthy, but it's a bad thing that individuals are wealthy? And how does a nation become wealthy if the individuals aren't wealthy? This doesn't make any sense. He's literally just saying, you have stuff, I want it. That is the depth of his ideology. You rich, me poor, me want rich stuff. Like that, it's caveman level, preschool level understanding of how anything works. I want to know, if we're the wealthiest nation in the history of the world, which we are, how did we get that way? Is that a good thing? Do you want to preserve that? We could all just be poor. Then, you know, no contradiction, I guess. Thank goodness we got rid of all the contradictions. You know, the contradiction of having wealth and poverty existing in the same nation. That's not a contradiction. That's a status of life, permanent for all of time, nowhere excluded. How is that a contradiction? Wow, what a contradiction. The YMCA has a basketball court and a pool. No, there's just two different things existing in the same geographical area. There's nothing contradictory about that whatsoever. What he says is, children go to sleep hungry while the world's first trillionaire hungers for more. Whoa. Wow, it's like poetry. He's like such a deep thinker. See how I use the word hunger to mean two different things? It's like, whoa. I mean, it makes sense he was a rapper. The language, you know, he's a wizard, isn't he? Children go hungry in America, which they don't. What are you talking about? Where are children going hungry in America? Where does that happen? Where does that exist? They don't. They don't because we're the wealthiest nation in the world, because we have a robust social system, social safety net. Welfare is like too much, actually. Nobody's going hungry. Nobody's going hungry here. But do you understand? They have to have people going hungry here. If there aren't people going hungry, they'll make them up. Because their entire pitch is that America is a failed system. Otherwise, why would we want to destroy it? Why would we need something new if it turned out America was super wealthy and nobody went hungry and we had trillionaires and also our poorest were well taken care of? Like, that is the situation. In America, every child can get free food. Every child from the state or from charities. The overabundance is ridiculous. And of course, every child's parent could get a job if they wanted. If they're fit and healthy, they can get a job. There's jobs everywhere. For anybody that wants to work, they don't want to work. So there you go. In fact, I believe one out of every three men in America doesn't have a job and isn't working. That's the level of prosperity that we have. I mean, it's a very stupid way to spend our money. It's like the dumbest thing we could possibly be spending our money on is subsidizing the lives of the unproductive. But that's what we choose to do. And we're very effective at it. We're very good at it, but they need us to be bad at it. They need this place to be tyrannical. They need America to be failing to, you know, live up to its potential. We're not, but they lie and say that we are. As we've explained a million, billion, trillion times before, just like they did in Russia before the communist revolution. Was the Tsar the greatest leader? Were his people universally happy, cared for? Did he never, you know, tyrannize anybody and never, you know, torture dissidents or anything? No, of course not. Of course, there were a few bad things. But compared with the communists, Tsarist Russia was like the Garden of Eden. I mean, it was like paradise. You didn't have the Gulag Archipelago. You didn't have the Holodomor. You didn't have the massacres upon massacres, the starvation. I mean, it got really bad in Russia for a really long time. And yet it got that way. Because prior to the communist revolution, you had a bunch of Zoran Mamdani types, a bunch of ingrate foreign types running around telling everybody everything was terrible. Everybody's starving. Oh, the Tsarist is this awful tyrant, knowing the whole time the actual tyrants are lurking in the shadows waiting to take power and make everything worse for everybody. So children do not go hungry in America. That is just not true. Don't know where you're getting that. Think you're making that up, actually. They do not go to sleep hungry. Actually, we are very good at looking after our poor. But do you notice the utter lack of gratitude in any of that? Because the lack of gratitude extends beyond himself to other people, that he can see that our system is actually the most charitable in the world, that actually we have a welfare system. If it has one problem, it's that it's not robust enough to stop the scam artists from stealing 90% of the goods that go through it, or the big corporations that benefit from it. That's the other ironic thing. That, of course, everything the socialists promote is 100% in line with the major corporatocracy. Everything. Everything, everything, from homosexuality and the Pride Month crap that gets forced down our throat through corporations, to the fact that our welfare system is just a money funnel straight from prosperous taxpayers through the ingrates to the biggest corporations in the world like Coca-Cola and Frito-Lay, the corporations that are making money off of poisoning the lower classes to keep them in a state of dependency so they can continue to siphon money out of the taxpayers. But no, tell us more, Zoran Mamdani, about how we're all going hungry, and yet we have a trillionaire. Therefore, we need socialism. It's hard to believe that this stuff is convincing, but apparently it is. We see monopolies that dominate every industry and oligarchs who buy elections. Mamdani then took aim at his texting buddy President Trump's hardline immigration crackdown and fellow billionaires, saying we see masked agents terrorizing our streets, eating food cooked by our undocumented neighbors before spiriting them away in unmarked vans. We see a nation whose immense wealth has been built by those with calloused dirt-streaked hands, those who toil on factory floors and chisel into stone. This is the thing. Communism seems to be stuck in the early 1900s. I still hear it consistently from socialists about the means of production. What production? What means? What are you talking about? You all have email jobs. You all can be replaced with AI. So what are you talking about? The means of production. What is he? He's like dirt streak hands toiling on factory floors and chiseling into stone. It's like, yeah, 200 years before you got here. And we would love to see more manufacturing in this country. Unfortunately, our globalist overlords prefer people like you to get all of the benefit. And so it all got outsourced from America in a system of exploitation that you are actively continuing. I can imagine in America, I could even celebrate and promote a socialist America that had its same demographic makeup as prior to the Hart-Celler Act of 1965. But instead, what we have is globalism, which means that we have both imported the world to our country to work for slave labor and undercut wages and take up housing and screw up early job opportunities for teenagers because they're all given to middle-aged Indian men and women who are having their wages supplemented by welfare so that the mega corporations can benefit that much more from selling out our birthright and undercutting our way of life. You are fully in favor of all of that, sir. So what are you talking about? I feel the same way as I do about like the anti-Israel stuff that these people promote, where it's like, do you even know why you're anti-Israel? Have you even thought about it at all? Like, if you really, but they haven't. It's literally as simple as Israel white, Palestinians brown. That's as deep as they've thought of it. That's as deep as they think of anything. And so it's like, even on things I agree with them on, I'm like, but you don't understand why this is this way. You don't actually understand what you oppose. You actually are completely in favor of everything you think you're against. You think you're against the corporations. You do absolutely everything the corporations want. You think you're against the Zionist, you know, corporate construct, but you are literally puppets on their strings doing everything that could ever aid them in their attempts. You are the perfect examples for them to present to the world to say, look at how bad our enemies are. Aren't we the good guys? Everything you think you oppose, you actually support. Everything you supposedly try to fight gets infinitely worse under your policies. And I, for one, would like to live in a country where these people don't exist. That's all. That's all I want. I dream of a world where nobody has to care about politics because these people aren't here. I wouldn't have to worry about politics if it weren't for the continual threat of psychotic non-Americans coming to our country and trying to forcibly change the way that things operate, for the endless scams that are bankrupting us, for the manipulation that goes into our education system that my kids are going to have to go through. I really, really, really wish we lived in a country where none of us had to worry about any of this stuff, because the leaders that we elected actually served our interest, cared about us, and valued us and our lives, and didn't want to manipulate, control, or rob us. But we've opened the gates, and they're all here now. And apparently we can't get them out, because now they all vote. And they all vote for exactly what destroyed their countries, and guess what? It's destroying ours. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a world without democracy? Can you imagine a world where, when bad people want to abuse the population has representation that defends them against the outsider? Can you imagine a world where your leadership, your government, your politicians are not actually incentivized to try to destroy you? Because that's what democracy does. It makes it to where our leadership is not, you know, the uplifted authority with the responsibility to look after, care for, and preserve the freedoms of the people beneath them. Suddenly we become enemy army factions, and the people with the power are incentivized to use that power to try to crush our prosperity, crush our free time, crush our ability to make a change in the political system, because suddenly the people they're supposed to represent and be authorities over represent a threat to their power if they're able to gain enough influence or power or money or population to overthrow them. So instead, we're in this constant battle with a bunch of foreigners that got here yesterday who apparently are legally allowed to steal our stuff, and we have to constantly try to fight back to stop them. This is insufferable and exhausting and unnecessary. We just need Americans to run America and to kick everybody else out. On this July 4th, I say we declare independence from the ingrates. I say we declare, we actually, you know what we need? We need to force independence on them. This is what we need. We declared independence. They want to become dependents. We need to force them to be independent. Force them to live on their own and build their own country. Stop being dependent on us.
And now our coming attractions.
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world. We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones. Whoa! Hey, Alex!
We love you, Alex! I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more.
Hey, Libtard, Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
F*** you, Alex. Suck my d***.
What a bunch of garbage. Liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you. Two sides of the same coin. Two management teams bidding for control. The CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh, Antifa speedball. Move, bitch. Get out the way.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to bring down the new world order!
I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what you should want!
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
folks. Third hour is on here. War Room Live. AlexJonesLive.com. The Alex Jones Network. Follow me on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Support us, of course, by going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Right now, it's the biggest sale of 2026 to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, July 3rd through 5th. Massive discounts on thealexjonesstore.com, including buy one, get one free offers on the methylene blue tincture and the bovine colostrum plus and the Shilajit complex capsules. Buy one, get a second one absolutely free on some of our best-selling supplements, as well as 60% off supplements, up to 60% off all supplements, 50% off apparel. And we have the newly offered America 250 silver round. It's 1 troy ounce, 0.999 fine silver commemorative round. It is a collector's item. But if you're a VIP, you pay less than $100 for one of these incredibly beautiful, artistic, and frankly gorgeous silver rounds. Now I want to go to a video of Caleb Hammer, who runs a financial show, but he's talking to a socialist and trying to walk her through how stupid her own ideology is. Let's watch.
They have barbed wire and awful living conditions and maggots in the food and abusing the people in there. No due process. That's a concentration camp.
Okay.
And so people are rightfully outraged and are out there to demoralize the people who are going into those.
I asked her what her job was, by the way.
I said finance. And you asked if I was a bad capitalist.
I'm a socialist. Concentration camps. You're a socialist?
Yes.
Okay. You know, socialism has never worked. What socialism are you in favor for? Here we go. Get ready.
I believe that...
Take a system.
A system?
Take a system in the world that you're in favor of.
Well...
That you would rather be our system.
I just don't want it to be capitalism. Nor do I want it to be...
Take a system that has worked that you like and would like to replicate here.
Capitalism.
Take a system, please. That has been proven to work in any country, anywhere. That is better than our system, please.
Capitalism.
Yeah, please. Okay, that's great. Yes, you have your talking points. That's wonderful. Now pick a system that has worked anywhere, better than here, that you would rather have.
I don't give a fuck about my definition.
Your definition. I'm asking you to choose. Don't cater to my definition.
And I'm choosing socialism.
No. Yeah, but pick it. Pick another country that has worked.
Unfortunately, we've never tried
real socialism, I bet you.
Imperialism is hurting those socialist countries.
It hurt the USSR?
Weren't
they imperialists?
Cuba and Venezuela. Yeah, the blockades that we're doing for oil production
dramatically fell after the state took control of Venezuela, and it hurt their economy dramatically well before our embargo. You might be right about Cuba, but no, Venezuela did it to themselves before we embargoed. Timeline-wise, so you're just wrong. They had a slush fund coming in when it was collecting taxes from the private enterprise.
What I'm not wrong about is the fact that
so what system,
capitalism
please? Okay, I just asked what her job was. Here we go. Please, pick a system. One place that according to your values you would rather do.
New York.
That's not socialist. That's the most capitalist place in the world.
But Mamdani is out there doing
He's
social...
democratic socialist.
Yeah.
Socialist.
Yeah.
He still believes in capitalism. You know that, right?
Start somewhere.
No. That is still capitalist. All his policies are funded on the tax revenue generated by capitalism. That's capitalism. That is not
taxes.
Worker-based socialism. Taxes come from the capitalist state. Still. So no, that is not socialist. But if that's what you'd like to see, then don't call yourself a socialist, because that's not socialist. That's still capitalism. That's more Scandinavian. That's European, which is still funded on capitalist systems. I was hoping you were going to say something like Sweden or the UK. I was hoping you were going to say something like that, which are still objectively capitalist countries.
Mm-hmm.
Not socialist by any means of the imagination. They have some more social programs, all funded by the success of capitalism, all funded by the marketplace and the wages created by capitalism.
So what happens? More social programs. How many social programs do you have to do before it's socialist?
You're talking about social programs. Socialist is a completely different economic structure, though.
Right, where the worker has their relationship to the means of production.
State run, but yes. State run. That wouldn't really create much. You know what happened in the USSR? With all the land, most arable land almost in the world compared besides the United States and I think Ukraine. Well, they had to import all their wheat. Vast majority of their wheat. It doesn't work. It doesn't create the outcome. People need to eat. And it doesn't work. You know what's actually more important?
Are we feeding people under capitalism?
Yes. Have you seen our poor people? They're fat. Yes. The poor people in the United States have to take Ozempic.
Okay, but is it because the cost of chips is more than minimum wage?
Chips? You think that's what's necessary for a sustained lifestyle?
I think that it's one of the cheapest things you can get from the gas station.
Gas station? Should we be doing our grocery shopping from the gas station? I think we've gotten some pretty bad advice if we're talking about meal prepping.
Well, you would know a thing or two about meal prepping.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't know anything, folks. The only place you could point to is Europe, and I don't know if you've checked Europe out anytime recently. It's collapsing. They are all dying out. They're literally going extinct. So find another example.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say,
It looks tremendous. Go to the AliceJonesStore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did. Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
All right, folks, I want to go to a video now from a creator. I believe his name is Warren Smith. He can be found on X at WTSmith17. He's also on YouTube. He's very good. And to be honest, if I didn't feel like I was stealing, I'd play this whole video, cause it's really good. Excuse me, the whole thing's about 7 minutes long, so I'll probably play half of it or so. I should have reached out and asked if I could just play the whole video. I feel bad cause, you know, obviously I don't want to show you the whole thing and steal views from him. So I got to encourage you. Go follow Warren Smith. WTSmith17. That's WTSmith17 on X. He posted this. I did my best to expose the stunning tactics of manipulation that Zoran Mamdani was caught using on camera. Many people will never even notice. I thought this was an absolutely brilliant breakdown of the deception and the sloganeering that forms the entirety of the socialist mindset, political ideology. It is literally meaningless slogans with no depth and no legitimacy even as a slogan. That's the craziest part. Here's Warren Smith breaking it down.
Once you see this, you will not be able to unsee it. This interview exposed the democratic socialists of America.
You know, there's been a lot of attention. One of the candidates you supported who won, who knocked off an incumbent Democrat, is Darlisa Villa-Chavalier. She said some very controversial things, including calling for the abolition of prisons, couldn't say whether or not somebody who had committed murder should be in prison, called for open borders, against all deportations, including those of violent criminals.
So murderers shouldn't be in prison, no borders at all. What could go wrong? You can't make it up. Surely that's not actually what these guys are calling for. Let's see how he responds.
Are those positions that the Democratic Party could win on nationally?
I think what the Democratic Party can win on nationally is a focus on working people.
Well, we're focusing on working people. That's all he says here.
She would talk about how we have to invest in babies, not bombs.
You know, invest in babies, not bombs. What does that mean? Everyone claims that their policies will benefit working people. That's not an argument. And this is the illusion.
But how does abolishing prisons or having open borders fit into that? I mean, do you see how those are ideas that a lot of your Democrats that are warning about what happened here say are toxic.
Even the guy interviewing him, a mainstream journalist, even he is shocked by what he's hearing. Surely you don't believe this stuff.
Most of America won't go along with it. They're bad ideas. They're dangerous ideas.
I think what the focus of her race was, what the focus of her candidacy was about the struggle that working people are facing.
And he just says working people again. That's all he can say.
So we can disagree on something as basic as whether or not there should be prisons?
That's not
your position.
There are prisons.
Yes.
And what we're also showing in this city is that safety is not something that's up for debate. It's something that we're actually delivering on.
In order to avoid contending with it, he claims it's not up for debate. We're just going to deliver on it. What are you delivering? Please, just explain it simply to me. What is democratic socialism?
And for a lot of people who ask themselves, what does democratic socialism mean? And you can tell them the answer at a theoretical level. It's the choice to extend democracy from the ballot box the rest of their lives. But
what does that mean? Extending democracy from the ballot box to the rest of my life. That doesn't mean anything.
You got to have something you are not just willing to stand up for, but that you're also willing to explain how this is relevant to working people.
Good, good. Tell me. Explain it to me, please.
I'm not interested in writing a manifesto or, frankly, in reading one. I'm interested in delivering, and that's exactly what we've been showing.
But what are you delivering, though? No, just write it out. What makes you a socialist specifically? Because I don't understand how we can have both.
But they're saying that if you're a socialist, you're not a Democrat. I mean, is there room in the party for both of these views?
Yes.
You can't just say yes. I mean, you got to expand on it a little bit.
Yes. So, you know, does it have to stand firmly for these ideas that you're talking about that others are calling dangerous?
I think it has to stand for working people.
We got the working people part. I got that. That's the third time you've mentioned it. Try someone else. Maybe we can get a better answer.
Because another co-founder that you guys have, Gustavo Gordillo, said that you guys are basically, you admitted that you're using the infrastructure the party has set up for ballot access. And that's what you're doing. Is that fair to say that that's what you're doing? You're not actually Democrats. You're using the process that's already in place to gain power.
Well, we would ask everybody, including voters of the Democratic Party, of what are Democrats?
All right. Sounds like postmodernism.
DSA is also on the record talking about the need to defund the police and freedom for all incarcerated people. Do you believe in anybody being incarcerated for any kind of crime?
Amazing.
Like, I can say what I feel personally. I think there for sure is violent crime or things that are really atrocious things that happen that, I mean, I for sure in the near term or foreseeable
great.
Future.
Another beady-eyed foreigner here, incapable of answering a question. And this is the, you know, infinite problem with this is that an intelligent, informed, thoughtful populace this would never fly with. Because they have no answers. Their evasions would disqualify them. As Warren Smith points out, again, I gotta tell you to go follow him, WTSmith17 on X. Right? Was it 17 or 16? 17. WTSmith17. Like any intelligent person, when they see a politician so blatantly skip around the question, not answer it whatsoever, invoke pointless, meaningless slogans, that should be disqualifying. It should be obvious immediately, okay, this person doesn't know what they're talking about. They need to give me more than just slogans. But you don't need to give stupid people more than just slogans. It sounds good. They vote for it. This is the strategy on full display of the Democrats. This is what they're pursuing from here on out. There is absolutely no sunlight between the Democrats and the socialists. They are one and the same. Just like the communists and the socialists are one and the same. They all understand the game they're playing. They literally do. They understand, and they say it openly, and you just heard a version of it right there. If they were to actually elucidate and actually explain their positions and their policies and what the outcome they're looking for, if they were to actually have to explain it, nobody would vote for it. So they know all they need to do is say meaningless slogans, not answer any questions, not go to any depth, and low IQ people aren't going to understand. Like, you don't know what you don't know. I can tell what's going on, but other people, it's just like, oh yeah, working people. Yep. Good. I like working people too. It's like, don't you understand? He was just asked a very specific question about a very specific policy point that he apparently holds or doesn't hold, but he won't or can't say whether he believes in something or doesn't believe in something, wants to do something. Because if he were to answer honestly, if he were to say, yes, I agree, we should abolish prisons, nobody would vote for him because that's retarded. He knows that, so he's lying about it. This is a form of lying. It's a more effective form of lying. Lying would be him saying, no, that's too far. I would not go that far. That would be lying because he does believe that. Telling the truth would not let him get elected. So he chooses the sloganeering route. He chooses to simply invoke the term working class as if that means anything. And intelligent people would never fall for this. The people who are voting for Democrat socialists are either literally just very stupid because they hear stuff like this and think it looks good. And it really is, there really is like it's a feminizing thing. It's a childish thing. But you can see Zoran Mamdani knows what he's doing because I'm trying to figure out how to say this delicately, but like liberal left women, especially they are very much swayed on their position on anything. If the guy is good looking or not, it's actually like the primary thing that like, what's his name? Luigi, right? The murderer. Do you think if he looked like the guy who is accused of killing Charlie Kirk, do you think he'd have any fans? They know that. So like Zoran Mamdani is asked like, so do you think there should be prisons? And he's like, you know, the voters voted for me and we're delivering. And then he flashes a smile and it's like, okay, are people really this stupid? Is this really all it takes? Are we seriously dealing with like a societal situation equivalent to just like the woman that keeps getting abused by all of her boyfriends? And they're just like, but he has such a nice smile. He would never. No, this one's different though. And it's like, when are you going to learn that bad people can smile too? Like that's really what it seems. Zoran Mamdani is a young dude. He's got a good smile and he just goes, hey, they voted for us to do our job and we're delivering. And it's like, no, I asked you if you believe in prison abolition. He's like, I believe in delivering for the working class. And it's like everything the socialist left accuses the right of being, they actually are. Like, you know, they think that, you know, people just like Trump because he like looks cool or something. Like, no, they literally like they care about if you look cool, and that's kind of all they care about. If you can like look cool and confident and have a good smile and say working class, they think you're a political genius. I'm serious. And if you murder a husband and father by shooting him in the back, but you happen to have swarthy good looks, then you're also a hero and a revolutionary that, you know, they'll throw themselves at your feet. They're very shallow people, the left. And the people taking advantage of that, they know it and they play on it, which is why you have things like the DSA holding tryouts where they happen to pick the very dumb but very pretty waitress, bartender lady, who is suddenly uplifted as a you know, the new star of the Democratic Party. It's like, but she's dumb as rock. She doesn't know anything. She admits she doesn't know anything, and she was selected through a tryout process like an actress. They don't care. They don't care. She looks cool. She's pretty. She's young. Therefore, they'll vote for her. That is as deep as their investigation goes into any of this. And for some reason, they love slogans. They just love them. Sloganeering has got to be the most underappreciated science in America right now. All they have are slogans. There's nothing backing it up, and the slogan itself doesn't even make any sense. It's cheaper to house people than have people unhoused. Is it? That's a slogan that is wrong, but they'll invoke it. Well, I just want to deliver for the working class. Okay, but you told them they can't turn their air conditionings on? Like, how is that? That doesn't, you have to actually have policies, but they don't. They don't actually have to have policies because they have the media on their side. The media uplifts them, acts as if they're intelligent or thoughtful in any way, and gives them the faux legitimacy they require to get elected. Meanwhile, we can go to clip number 6 here. Hassan Piker, just like AOC, just like Zoran Mamdani, I mean, they're all the same, right? You get that they're all the same. They're all literally immigrants or the children of immigrants. They are all dumb as rocks. They're all vaguely good looking and almost white passing, but they're all, once again, dumb as hell, have absolutely no intellectual depth whatsoever, are wrong about everything constantly, and are also just very despicably bad people in their heart. Like everybody knows, Hassan Piker uses a shock dollar on his poor dog and then lies about it because they lie about everything. Here's Hassan Piker dancing like an idiot. This is another thing I don't understand. Not to get off on a tangent, there were like multiple videos this week of, what's her name? Ilhan Omar on a stage doing some weird Somali dance. And I keep seeing all these videos of like graduations where everybody's dancing. And it's just like one of my favorite stand-up comedians of all time has a bit where he talks about he doesn't watch TV and he watched TV for the first time in like 5 years. And he's like, everybody's just dancing around. They're dancing around. Why is everybody always dancing around? Stop it. And it's just like, that's how I feel. What is this dance? This is like the lamest, weirdest dance I've ever seen. Guys, bring up the Ilhan Omar dance we got playing here. Like, what is it? The one where she's like walking across the stage and she's like swinging her arms. It's like, do people think this is cool? Do people actually are like, look, she's getting down. It's like, kinda. She looks like an old lady kind of shuffling around on the, you know, square dance floor a little bit. But like, what is this? You know, it's like when Kamala Harris would be dancing down the street. And I'm against it. I'm against dancing in like, especially like formal settings. This type of dance, whatever this is, whatever this just like, we're just, yeah, well, look how cultured we are. Look at our incredible culture, you guys. You Americans don't have anything like this, do you? It's like, what, you're wiggling around? Oh, it's incredible. Oh, your cultural gifts. What would we do without you? Or Kamala Harris dancing. And it's supposed to be like it is like a cultural thing. It's like, there's a meme or a 4chan or whatever that went around for a while where it's basically just making fun of all the, you know, ethnic people in America who are like, think that their thing is super special, where they're like, oh, you know, in my culture, your grandmother will try to feed you a lot. It's like, yeah, that's every culture. Or it's like, oh, if you've ever fallen asleep on plastic chairs put together at a party because your parents are still partying, but you're a little kid, you know, every Hispanic person knows that feeling. And it's like, these are just the characteristics of the third world. Like, these aren't like some sort of special, super unique cultural marker that your people developed. It's just like you're just kind of doing the same dance that they were doing next to the Congo before European discovery. So it's like, why is this a thing now? That's what I really want to know. Just why has this become a thing? There's something that we're missing out on these days. It's called dignity. There's a distinct lack of dignity in our country these days. Like, when you're graduating from a prestigious university, the idea is that you have enough respect for the institution, you're going to behave in a, you know, respectful and decent way. But instead, it's let's wiggle around. I can't just be somebody that walks across the stage with dignity, you know, and shake hands with the dean and, you know, revel in the accomplishment I've done. What I really want to do is twerk. What I really need to do is start twerking as soon as I get my diploma. Okay. Just because I, you know, got a degree doesn't mean I'm a different person, right? I don't know what they're trying to express, but I'm over it. I'm over the dancing. This is not impressive. There's nothing cool or dignified about this. And I don't get how they've tricked everybody into thinking that there is. That's the part that confuses me. Where it's like people post it and they're like, oh my God, I love Ilhan Omar getting down at the Somali thing. And it's like, why? She literally looks like an old lady at a wedding, you know, trying to boogie down with her grandson. It's not cool. There's nothing cool about this. There's nothing, you know, dignified or impressive about this. You look like children. You look like little children trying desperately to seem cool, and it's very pathetic. I just wonder, like, when did we lose that? When did we lose the correct perspective that just, like, I don't know, ballet, I'll respect that. Irish dancing, very compelling. I'm not against dancing. I'm not the mayor from Dirty Dancing or whatever. But there's a time and a place. There's a time and a place. But all this is to the side. But yes, we have another weird foreigner doing his awkward cultural dance that he thinks is cool for some reason. The part about this to point to is the song. If we can bring up the mute, like, what is this? People are like, Hassan is like the coolest guy ever. And he's just like, he's a weird nerd cosplaying as me. He's a weird nerd cosplaying as me, but can't dance as well. Do you hear the song he's dancing to? The song he's dancing to is a, like an idiot, by the way. The song he's dancing to, like a 40-year-old white guy trying to fit in at the barbecue. Hassan Piker, middle-aged white man dancing to a song about the death of Charlie Kirk, a man who Hassan Piker knew personally, had spent time with and had talked to in person. He is dancing like a middle-aged white guy to a song about Charlie Kirk dying. Celebrating it. These people are evil. Don't be fooled. You may see them dancing and you may think these are just silly gooses. These are just a couple of silly foreigners doing their funny little wiggle dance. They are evil. They're evil. They are heartless. They're inhuman. They genuinely would not blink an eye to see your family crushed to death or lit on fire. People that they knew personally, that they had their phone numbers and interacted with on a personal level. He'd met their family and he will dance and celebrate to a song about how you were shot in the neck and murdered on stage. These are evil people at every possible level. They're immoral scumbags through and through on the personal level, on the political level. They are small-minded, greedy little parasites that must be rejected by our country as a whole with prejudice and with no explanation. We don't need to listen to them tell us why our countries need to be different. We don't need to hear their debating us about why they deserve to be grafted in to our inheritance while they're trying to exclude us from that very same inheritance. We have to slam the door in their face, put them on a boat, send them back to where they came from. He's an anchor baby. Hassan Piker is a literal anchor baby. They came here while she was pregnant so we could have the baby here so we could get American citizenship, immediately went back to Turkey. He's a rich boy nepo baby fraud just like Mamdani because they're all the same person. It's this class of first or second generation foreigners who keep dancing and trying to destroy our country. I'm sick of all of it. They all need to go home. My God, can we just not have to deal with this anymore? That's my wish.
There has been a major full court press agenda to undermine this country, to make Americans think that it's the American Republic and our Constitution that was the apple of the world's eye. Everybody wanted to come here to be part of this, that somehow it's why America's hated around the world. It's why we've lost our liberties and our freedoms. It's why you can work 80 hours a week and still can't pay your bills. No, it's the globalists. It's the private Federal Reserve. It's the whole UNWF kleptocrats that have been financing all of the radical anti-white, anti-America, anti-Christian, anti-capitalist garbage. And it's America that stands in the way of that. That's why with Cloward and Piven, they've been undermining it to destroy it. And so that's why with the 250th anniversary approaching in just a few days, it is so important to remember that they're trying to break your will. They're trying to demoralize you. Well, we're talking about the next leap in the information war with the truth against the liars. I'm here at AlexJonesLive.com headquarters. We've got our backup studio, new studio is getting built. It's incredible. We're planning to go 20 hours a day live with even a late night show that's going to be incredible. But we need your support to do it, and you've been coming through with the support. That's why I want to give back to you on this 250th anniversary of our Constitutional Republic and celebrate it and know that its best days are to come if we take action, if we breathe life into it. And let Big Brother globalists know that they are in trouble. They've lost the faith of the public. Their own internal documents have leaked. They know they're in crisis. They know the Great Awakening's here. They thought their Great Reset and their COVID release would get us back in line, back in heel with their boot on our neck, but it didn't work. So, running this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through the 4th of July, we are offering the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Best-selling items. Buy one, get one free. Ultramethylene Blue, the very best. Bovine Colostrum, the very best. Shilajit, incredible. Booster Testosterone, all these natural peptides. These are private labels, the best brands in the country, discounted. And up to 60% off the other supplements and 50% off on apparel. Many of these are loss leaders, but I know those of you on the fence that haven't tried some of these products, once you try Ultramethylene Blue or Bovine Colostrum or our Methylene Red that's proprietary, you're going to be hooked. There's over a 90% order rate. And you know you're financing liberty and freedom, so you cannot lose. Also, 60% off Ultimate Chill. With all these known herbs for natural, clean, calm, but you also stay focused at the same time. Ultimate Energy, Supercharge Energy. Methylene Red Capsules that goes with Methylene Blue, like a horse and carriage. MK Ultra, Brain Booster. Ultimate Power Freedom Mango is even better than Turbo Force. Similar formula, even stronger, full of super nutrients. In Mango, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. You want a cooking beef tallow? We've got the highest quality right now for you as well. Superfood Green Powder, Tallow Bomb, Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shot, Etrogenic Mushroom Super Coffee. I forgot about that. It is simply amazing. It's all up to 60% off. Our Zeolites, 40% off. CMOS Gummies, our CMOS, 40% off. It goes on and on. So up to 60% off on the supplements. Buy one, get one free on all three of our top-selling supplements. 50% off on Patriot Apparel and more Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. July 3rd, July 4th, July 5th, flash sale celebrating the birth and the continuation of this country past 250 years at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 250 years of America and 250 more. We are 1776. We're unstoppable together.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. Dude, it's so funny. Like, who thinks this is cool? And you know he's not doing it ironically. You know he's not trying to look goofy. He thought he looked cool there. He's, like, trying to look cool. These people are all, they all think they look cool. We need to let them know what they really look like. No, you look like Uncle Jimmy who's had too many margaritas. It's just like... You know, you see through it, and like these are, in their minds, these are the Soviets driving around the mobile execution vans, loading families in for eradication. Like that's who these people actually are. It's worse. It's worse. I'd rather have the Nazis or the Soviets marching down my street and putting a boot on my neck than whatever this dancing, happy, but we're going to cut your throat kind of attitude is. It's like, why are people falling for this? Let's go to clip two here. This is another longer video. I'm not going to be able to play the whole thing, but I'll see if I can get to like half of it. This is a Indian man who does a great job explaining what I'm constantly trying to describe, which is the utter and complete lack of civic responsibility in immigrant populations or in homegrown populations in some cases. But the this is an interesting video because it's great. It's not me being frustrated at people who can't think of second order effects. It's a very patient explanation to those people by one of their own. Let's watch.
Is that shoot cutting?
No, I let's do something else today.
Kyun, sir?
Dude, like, we've been doing financial videos for 2 years now. And what's the point? The point is not to get financial freedom to buy things. It's to have peace of mind and be happy. But how can you be happy? When you're driving, suddenly someone cuts you off and insurance premiums rises. Tumhara, mera. Because he's a rash driver. And then I was taking a turn. Someone actually threw garbage. And our tax-paying money will be used to actually pick it up. So today I'm going to talk about something that we have not. How civic sense actually affects us in more ways than you think. Our happiness and also how it's affected financially. Let's do this. Roll. What's civic sense? It's an unsaid rule where you learn by looking at other people on how to behave in public. How to care for the environment, the community, people around you, being polite. But unfortunately, we, Indians, lack civic sense. We did a fun experiment. You see, this area over here near the office is quite dirty. So we got it completely cleaned. Chaka chon, very beautiful, spick and span. And this other side of the road was actually quite dirty as well. What we did was we sort of added a little bit of litter. And then we observed for a few days on what actually happened. And the result will actually shock you. But you know, a lot of my friends living abroad say ki Indians don't have civic sense because of education. Now, near our office, everyone's obviously educated. That's why there are offices, right? And this place is dirty. So clearly it's not education. It's something else. So I found three interesting things of why this is happening and how it's affecting us economically and, well, just our happiness. The first one is tragedy of the commons. This is when you see someone throwing out garbage to keep his car clean or the house clean at the expense of the society. When humans exploit shared resources for their own benefit and basically everyone else can't use that resource, that is tragedy of the commons. And what's more shocking is that recently there was a yoga day organized in Vizag, a community event where you can come, learn yoga, perform yoga, good for your health, great for the community. But everyone did this. They ran and started stealing the yoga mats, literally snatching it from each other. But you know what's even more sad? The yoga mats were actually free anyway. So all you had to do was queue up and everything was there for you anyway. And that's the sad part. You see, when the community is incentivized to break the rule, as in when someone breaks the queue, he gets the benefit, someone steals the mat, he gets the mat, and nothing happens, that's when tragedy of the common becomes worse because everyone is incentivized to break the rule. And then we have road accidents.
Well, hold on. Let's pause right there real quick. So I love that, you know, obviously describing the tragedy of the commons. And it's so obvious. And it's like the thing I want to draw a line between is this mindset, the grab all the yoga mats you can to try to kill each other over it with just socialism in general. There's a distinct, greediness, selfishness that compels both of these ideas. That to offset everything to the collective, right? Who cares if I, you know, throw trash on the ground? It's society's fault for all this trash being on the ground. I'm poor because society made me poor. There's a through line here that I don't know if I can quite describe perfectly, but it's evident. There's a lack of consideration of second order effects of you have something I don't, therefore you have hurt me somehow, and I'm going to go take your thing. And it's like, there's plenty for everybody if everybody behaves. But when you don't behave, when you take advantage, it makes everybody else either have to take advantage or suffer from it. He explains this more thoroughly as we continue. Let's keep watching.
witnessed 4.6 lakh road incidents. That's almost 500,000. And that took 1.7 lakh lives. The thing is, out of this 1.7 lakh deaths, 1.2 happened due to overspeeding. This means that these deaths could have easily been avoided. I'll tell you one more thing. We were in Italy recently, and I'm absolutely not comparing our country with another country, but when we were there and I saw 60 kilometers and it was an open highway, I could have easily touched 120, but because I was outside and everyone was following the rule, I stayed at 55. And can you imagine, this side was completely free, nobody overtook me because it was not considered good civic sense over there. And then we have the best of all, theft. And let's take an example of, say, the railways. We love taking trips in trains, right? There was actually a lot of theft in trains, as you can imagine. I'm talking about bulbs, pillows, cloth, linen, the mugs. Anything basically you can pick up was stolen, and this was 260 crore rupees in 2022. And how does this affect us? Well, one, it contributes to the losses of the Indian Railways, which means fares will go up. All of these costs will be passed on to you, the taxpayer. You will have to pay a higher fare because someone stole something. But you know, the tragedy of the commons is only one aspect of civic sense. Another aspect is actually a broken window problem. So let me give you an example. Imagine you go into Delhi Metro, and we sent part of our crew. We said, just record the place and see if someone is eating or has any kachra in their hand, and just try to record them. You'll notice they don't throw or litter across the Delhi Metro, and it's actually really, really clean and well organized. But the same person, once he goes down, exits the Delhi Metro, walks on the street, throws it on the street. Another example is a normal railway. You enter a bogie, you'll see someone eating peanuts, and then they eat the peanut and take the chilka and throw it right there. And they do this because everyone else is doing it. No one stops them. They don't stop anyone. And they say, koi aur aake saaf kar dega. It's their job. And this is called the broken window theory. Basically, if there's a broken window, people find it okay if another one breaks. But if something is pristine and beautiful, people want to maintain it. And this is not just about our country getting dirty and we're complaining about it. It also affects our health. 40% of all plastic is thrown on Indian streets. This blocks drains and floods in our streets during monsoons. It becomes a breeding ground for diseases. It harms street animals because they're the ones who'll eat the trash. And it pollutes the soil, water, and enters our food chain because that waste just hardly gets cleaned. Now, I know you'll think that when something is dirty in a public place, the government is supposed to clean it. But we can't blame the government for our lack of civic sense, right? I mean, look at this example here. Street food falls on the street, and they go pick it up and throw it in the dustbin, and the place is clean again. If this happened and you're eating, will you actually bend down, pick up that wet waste food and throw it in the dustbin? Another tragedy is tourism. The largest concern of travelers trying to come to India as tourists is, I'll get sick. And you'd also right, go so,
it, this goes on for a while. Again, I think it's a great video. 01 is the name of the YouTube channel. So you spell out zero and then the letter one, Z-E-R-O, one. I think you did a great job. But I almost feel, you know, our audience doesn't need to hear this, but people do. But people out there need to be told this. I'm not necessarily interested in teaching people this here in America. But a couple things to understand. One, there's the continuity of mindset between this and socialism, because everything you described right there, it's easy to justify because you offset the consequences of your action onto the wider society. Like that, it's very simple, but it's like, I don't suffer from throwing trash on the ground, so why would I care? It's selfishness at the end of the day, a refusal to take responsibility for the world around you. But also, I feel for him. Like, I feel for people like him in India that can see what's going on, that don't participate. But what is he supposed to do? Like, how do you get India on track? If there's this Indian guy trying to explain and recognizing and admitting, and you can just see from the state of India, like, there's very little, if any, sense of civic responsibility. In fact, and later in the video, he goes on to describe the way in which the what's their system of whatever it's called. I'm, for some reason, I'm blanking on the name right now. But they've got the untouchables and the why can I not think of the word? Why can the crew not think of the word either? The different levels of people in India. Some are more important, some are less. Caste system. Thank you. Yes, the caste system. Hey, it's the last hour on a Friday. Give me a break. The Indian caste system, basically the untouchables are the ones that clean everything. And so there's this idea that it's undignified to clean anything, which I also don't really understand. How can it be more dignified to live in trash than clean? That's crazy, but that's how they are. So there's the caste system on top of it that, you know, causes problems. So how would you undo this in India? Like, how would you teach a billion people civic responsibility? I don't know how you do that. You know, he's pointing out that you've got to, you know, the broken window problem where things are pristine. They tend to stay that way. Once one thing breaks down, everything starts to break down. That's a very common phenomenon across the world in communities and families and everything. So how do you fix it in India? Like, how would you do that? How would you, first of all, even be able to clean up all of the pollution in India? It's like not even possible. But if you could, you know, if you could put in all the effort and all the, like, it's prohibitively expensive at this point to try to clean everything. But like, how could you convince everybody in India to totally change the way that they behave and the way that they interact with everything in their culture? It's, in a lot of ways, they got a big challenge ahead of them, and maybe they can do it with real concerted nationwide education programs or severe punishment. I don't know what. What I know is that once this type of culture gets ingrained in a population, it doesn't go anywhere. And it is the tragedy of the commons. It is the feedback loop that gets entered into, as he explained to some degree, but is readily apparent anywhere that you look. Where if somebody cuts in line and they benefit from that, other people are going to want to cut in line and not lose out on that quote unquote benefit. And so once again, we see that, and there's a strange kind of irony here that's hard to explain, but liberty requires, ironically, like ruthless policing. I think you'll see what I mean. And by the way, this phenomenon is very powerful with people who, again, are decent and respectful and care about the people around them. So like when I was in Japan, when you're on the subway, everybody is sitting so quietly and so politely, you're incentivized just by nature of the environment not to make noise because you would stand out like a sore thumb. You know, it's not just like, oh, there's tons of noise everywhere and I'm a little bit louder than everybody else. But no. If there's no noise, nobody's pulling out a speakerphone and going, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm just hanging out here. Because like everybody in the subway car would turn and look at you like you wouldn't do it. So there's a social pressure to it. This is sort of a variation or an offshoot of the broken window phenomenon. Or like he's talking about in Italy, nobody's driving above the speed limit. But if somebody did drive above the speed limit and they didn't get pulled over and they got there faster, if people that ran red lights never got tickets, then everybody would run red lights and it would just be chaos across the board. Or it would be, you know, like in Italy, you'd have everybody driving 120 miles an hour. It would get dangerous. You'd have to go then and intervene. So liberty is only possible with a, you know, self enforced behavior. Liberty requires responsibility. You have to be worthy of the liberty. You have to live up to the liberty. You also have to ruthlessly protect that liberty against anybody that abuses it. Right? So, and you know, maybe speeding is a good example of this. Like, you need everybody to sort of on their own volition go a responsible speed limit, even though they have the ability to go much, much faster. Like, the only other option would be, like, you have a limiter on your car that doesn't allow you to go that much faster. Thing is, life is unpredictable. There are extraordinary circumstances. Maybe I need to drive extra fast because it's an emergency. And while the laws are there for everyday business as usual, okay, there are times where they need to be overridden for the sake of humanity. And that's okay. We can do that. And somebody can, you know, drive super fast because there's no hard limitation on what we're able to do. We are given liberty because typically and in a normal circumstance, we don't take advantage of that. But if nobody can be trusted to just do what's right for the benefit of everybody else, then you have to have a tyranny, or you have to let your country collapse into chaos. So if this is a intrinsic, troublesome part of the Indian character, because it's in evidence in India everywhere you go, and everywhere Indians go outside of India also seems to take on these attributes, then I would say we have to defend against that with extreme prejudice and a total lack of flexibility. Because once you start the feedback loop, if you bring in a bunch of people who have no civic sense, no sense of civic responsibility, no feeling that they are responsible for behaving themselves so the authorities don't have to come in and correct them, if you bring those people in to a sizable degree and they start taking advantage of the liberalities of our system, those liberalities have to go away and we lose the system that we have and we become India. And as we established a minute ago, once you're India, it's hard to not be India anymore. Once you live in a country that is fully collapsed into everybody taking advantage of everybody else, everybody stealing everything that's not locked down, everybody throwing their trash out the window, it's really hard to undo that situation. Lucky for us, we're not in that situation, and we can stop ever getting to that situation by stopping the people and the mindset that bring that situation about from coming here to any sizable numbers and maintaining their cultural stupidity. There's another video I should bring in. Maybe I'll bring it in next week. I haven't seen it in years, but it was a TED talk by an Indian guy talking about how every Indian population all over the world always brings along with it pollution and disrespect for the environment, which is another funny thing where it's, you know, people have this idea of like India being this sort of having this like naturalistic Hindu Buddhist mentality, but it's like, but there's no real like wildlife. Like, they don't have national parks there. They do occasionally have chunks of forest with man-eating lions in them that like will eat a couple dozen Indian people every once in a while, but it, there's not like this symbiotic natural relationship that is often presented as being a inversion of Western ideas. Like, there's this idea that Western is, this isn't the one, you may be trying to pull up the TED talk. The TED talk I'm talking about, because he's insulting Indians, he's an Indian guy, and I think he's giving a talk possibly in India, but he's wearing a mask. He's wearing a full face mask, so he's not recognizable, because if Indians found out he was insulting India, they would kill him. Just like in that last video when he's like, I was in Italy and everybody behaved, but I'm not comparing the two countries, but I would never compare our two countries. He's saying that because Indians have this like way overdeveloped sense of pride where they will literally kill you for insulting him. Yeah, here's the guy talking about the filth of India and how it seems to be a core component of their character that they are for some reason proud of. And when, yeah, he's in Bangor and he has to wear a mask because he thinks that the Indians will kill him for telling the truth about them. So let's just not let them over here. So here's an idea. Everything we're exploring right now are the horrible characteristics of a population that is desperately trying to take over the world. So like, let's stop them from taking over the world because clearly they can't even handle their own country. Is that a mean thing to say? I don't think it is. I think we have a very important and necessary role to play in upholding civic virtue, because the minute it's gone, it's really, really, really hard to get back. Really hard to get back. And of course, as it goes away, it is replaced with authoritarianism. It's the only other option. If you don't want to live in a world of criminal warlords and even then, that's just a different form of authoritarianism. But once you have a system where you let in a critical mass of people who will take advantage of vulnerabilities, who will behave dishonestly or selfishly if they're not compelled otherwise, then you have to compel them otherwise. And in a way, you have to do that anyway, because, like I said, if one person cuts the line and is not punished for it, you're only making a situation where everybody's got to cut the line and there's no point in having a line and everything can just be destroyed. So liberty requires ruthless policing of those liberties. So yes, you can drive quickly if you choose, because occasionally you need to make that choice, and we can't write laws that encapsulate every single possible situation in the future. But if you don't exercise that with responsibility, then it goes away. This is kindergarten stuff. This is preschool level stuff. Everybody should have been taught this by the time they were out of elementary school at the latest. Really, I don't even understand how people need to be taught this when it's so obvious if you think about it for 2 seconds. This is what we mean by second order effects. That the first order effect is, if I take that thing, I get that thing. I want that thing, I'll take that thing. That's just your first order effect. You took it, you have it. That's as far as your thinking goes. If you can go one step beyond that and go, but if I take that thing, then somebody else won't be able to have that thing. Or if I take that thing, if everybody acted like that, then there wouldn't be anything to take. So if I want there to be things, I need to not take it. It's not that complicated. It's not something I would think need to be taught to anybody. But if it does need to be taught to people, you're already out of luck. It's already too late. I don't know if these things can be taught. Not without a total reorganization of the entire society where you're enforcing this message from an early age. But that's a very difficult thing to do. So let's just never get to that point by ruthlessly policing our lovely and liberal system that now exists only because people like this aren't here to take advantage of it and stupidly and selfishly take it unto themselves. Let's avoid the tragedy of the commons by not opening it up to people that don't understand the tragedy of the commons. That's my idea. That's my plan. Folks, if you want to do the most patriotic thing you could possibly do today or tomorrow, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself one of these silver rounds, collector's items. You're not going to want to miss out on this limited edition coin.
Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us, and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists at Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at TheAlexJonesStore.com. With the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.